What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of No Winter in San Diego, a sports and comedy podcast that we do once a week where we talk sports and crack jokes while we do it. I'm Black Rob, and as always, I got my boy Dally B here with me. What's up with you, D?
Man, I'm good, man. It's a beautiful day, you know?
It sure is, man. It's springtime.
Yeah, they said it's supposed to rain, you know, but you know, I don't see no clouds, really. You know, it's about 70. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lovely day.
Like we say, there is no winter in San Diego. Bang. But yeah, we back again for another week, y'all. I want to thank everybody, as always, for taking the time to listen and download the show. You know how to find us, however you listen to podcasts, if it's on iTunes, on Stitcher, Podomatic. I know Android has some apps that you can use to download and listen to podcasts. However you listen, subscribe to the show, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for fucking with us. We got a new subscriber this past week, Charles Curtin. That's what's up, man. We appreciate you for subscribing to the show. That's your cousin. So we got another subscriber. He said folks at work was digging the show.
Yeah, man. I sent it to him on Monday, I believe, and he said he didn't know what the fuck it was, so I texted him on, I think it was Thursday or Friday. He's like, man, you ain't listen to the podcast yet? He was like, nah. He said, I didn't know what the fuck that was, so he said he's at work, and he was listening to it in front of his coworkers. He said, them motherfuckers is cracking up.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so, yeah, like maybe we gonna widen the fan base.
For sure, for sure. That's what's up, man. Hey, shout out to Charles. Thanks for spreading the word. Tell your coworkers to subscribe too, man. That's what's up. Any of y'all out there, man, if you listen to the show every week and, you know, you've told your coworkers about it and they listen to and they like it, tell them to subscribe. We need more subscribers and we need more reviews. Go on iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Go on Stitcher, leave a 5-star review there. We need as many reviews and subscribers as we can get, man. We're trying to make this thing grow as much as possible. Like I said, man, you leave a 5-star review, no matter what you say in the review, we'll read it on the show. You can say, Dally B loves the Chargers deep down inside. In his heart of hearts, he wants to root for the Chargers.
Oh, that's good right there.
If you leave 5 stars, we'll read it. It don't matter.
What if they leave 4?
Oh, we ain't reading that.
Hey, no, you gotta come correct.
Look, man, like I always mention the Black Guy with Tits podcast. Like, it's one of the biggest black podcasts out there, man. I can't recommend them enough. But they started that. They started that trend where it's like, okay, if you leave us 4 stars and say, y'all the best, greatest, you know, most wonderful podcast ever, they don't read that shit on the air.
Okay, I feel that.
But if you leave 5 stars and say, y'all niggas ain't shit, they'll read it.
As long as it's 5 stars.
5 stars.
Okay.
So we do, hey, we gonna do the same thing, man. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, shout out to Charles, though. Appreciate you following and subscribing to the show.
Hey, Chuck.
Everybody out there, keep spreading the word, man. That's what's up. No emails from the listeners this week, so we get to jump right into these topics, man.
Damn, Bob must be busy, huh?
I know. You know what? I was checking the downloads. We didn't get any out of Arizona, so I don't think he planning that wedding, homie.
I know, huh?
That's all good. As long as, you know, the open bar is there.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Do what you got to do to keep it tight, keep it right. And just to let y'all know, you know, during the podcast, we're going to be having some reactions. We got the Elite Eight games on right now. UConn and Michigan State is going at it. 35-34 right now with 10 minutes left in the second half. After this game is Kentucky and Michigan.
That's a good one.
And we'll talk more about the basketball tournament as we go through it. But first, talking about our teams, with my Chargers, they really ain't shit to update, so I'll just say, we can't do shit.
Y'all didn't make no moves?
We can't make no moves.
Yeah.
No, man, I read something. We got like $3.7 million in cap room. And we still have to sign draft picks and undrafted free agents.
Ooh, that's gonna be tough.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we can't do shit.
So y'all probably gonna have to release some more players, huh?
Yeah. Or restructure
some contracts. Yeah.
The only thing I read about was I came across this article. It says, why is Jeremy Clary still a Charger?
Ooh, I forgot about him.
It's a good question, man. Because, like, look, okay. So I think he's scheduled to make like, $6.25 million against the cap. And so I'm not going to read this whole article, but Pro Football Focus graded him out as number 72 out of 81 guard. Yeah, homie.
That is horrible.
And if you've ever watched Jeremy Clary play, that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah, he's a bum.
He is sorry. But, so this article, this is a dude from ESPN, Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers, was saying, like, what are the reasons why he's still a Charger? They said, I ain't going to read the whole thing, but experience in the system, durability, versatility, trade value.
Trade value?
Ain't nobody trading for that.
He's a bum.
My thing is, if you're as far up against the cap as we are, he's one of the dudes who's making way more money than the production he's giving.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Because just like they said, they can sign somebody for, like, shit, you could bring in a, I would take a seventh round pick and bring him in and just say, okay, fuck it, this nigga going to be our guard for the year. You know what I mean? Because you have, you look at it, that right guard position going to be playing in between Nick Harwick, a veteran, a real good player, DJ Fluker at right tackle, you know what I'm saying? So you can kind of hide and disguise that efficiency right there, especially if it gives you more capital.
Yeah, and then you can get the same type of production. Like you said, you want to maybe bring in a seventh rounder, undrafted free agent, get the same type of production that Clary is getting. Because I do remember when the Raiders played against the Chargers a couple years ago, and Clary got like four sacks, was getting, remember this playing at San Diego? Yeah. That's when we had Carson Palmer. He was getting Phillip Rivers fucked up, homie.
He was getting worked.
And then in the offseason, AJ Smith turned around and gave him a big contract. Makes no sense.
It made no, like, the thing is, it's funny because San Diego fans been begging to get Clary up out of here for years, homie, and he's still here. I mean, I can't hate on him for making his money. I wish somebody would pay me $6 million to be sorry.
I know, huh?
But as a Charger fan, like, yo, man, this nigga don't make our team better.
Yeah, yeah.
And that cap number hurts us, so.
I want that nigga to stay.
I bet you do.
Well, Justin Tucker tear his ass up.
Oh, shit.
Oh, he got blocked. Oh, you gotta go up strong, young man.
That nigga fell all up in the stands and shit?
Damn.
I ain't even get to see it.
See, that's why, homie, if you, like, 6 foot and under, homie, you shouldn't play basketball.
Why?
Well, look at this little dude.
Oh yeah, he went up with a
rookie. If that was like a 6'7", 6'8", man, he would have dunked that with some force. He can't even look at him. And got swatted. Get your ass out of here, homie.
Did they call a foul though? Oh, the camera man got fucked up.
Yeah, I think they got
a foul. Oh, they called a foul. That wasn't even a foul though.
Yeah.
Yeah, them little niggas, homie.
Yeah, should not be playing basketball, homie. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's all I got for the Chargers, really, though. Hopefully they cut this dude. I don't know. And the salary cap's so funny. I don't know, like, if they have, like, a certain date they got to cut him by to get cap relief.
I'm pretty sure it is. That.
But
I think it's before, before the draft. I don't know the exact date, but.
Okay. Hopefully they do that and free up some cap space, because $3.7 million, nigga,
dude. That ain't shit.
Like, how much does a first-round pick make?
A lot more than that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they gonna, how they going to sign their first-round pick?
Well, you guys, from how the, because you know they're slotted down as far as what you can make.
Right.
I think out of the top 10, it goes down drastically. So y'all go with like the 15, 16, 15.
We're like 25.
Oh, 25? Oh, yeah, so you really ain't got to break them off too much.
They'll probably make, what, like a couple million a year? Like a million hitting this first year or something?
I think it'll be more than that.
But see, that means
we'll have to look into it, bro.
Yeah, we ain't going to be able to trade up to get nothing in, because if we trade up, we ain't going to have no money to pay nobody. Yeah. Who knows, man? Like I say, ain't no news with us. We so handcuffed by the salary cap right now. We can't really do shit.
Yeah.
But what's up with your Raiders, though?
Yeah, you know, man, we brought a few new players, you know what I mean?
Who'd y'all get?
You know, I ain't gonna go to the big name game. I'm gonna go to the big name, you know, but we got some defensive tackle, Williams, for the Packers. I don't know who he is, but he's supposed to be decent.
Williams?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Pat Sims.
Nah, we had him. He played.
He resigned.
Yeah,
right?
He resigned. Okay. We got another dude from Green Bay a couple of days ago. His last name is Williams. It's like PJ Williams or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but he's supposed to be pretty decent. But you know, we got my boy MJD. Junkyard Dog. I'm in this bitch. You know what I mean? MJD. Yeah. You know.
I'm laughing because it was two episodes ago, this nigga was like, fuck the Raiders, I can't stand these niggas, I quit, I don't want to be a Raider fan no more.
Yeah, I was.
Ooh, damn, you hear that?
That was like some video game shit off the light skinned nigga I was talking shit about her.
Yep.
Okay, okay. Good job, light skin.
That's all light skinned niggas is good for. Fade away jumpers. Blake Griffin, the only exception.
Oh, man, that's fucked up.
But yeah, man, two episodes ago, this nigga was done.
I was,
Now this nigga back.
Yeah, I am back. Well, you know what Bob Bobo told me to be patient and shit, but it was like, man, we was fucking up majorly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I don't see how Redhead can bounce back from this. You know what I'm saying?
Like a general manager, Redhead.
Yeah, that's his new name. I ain't gonna call him by his name no more because he's still a fucker to me. So Redhead was fucking up, you know. But he started bringing in some pieces here and there, you know, to fill in the gaps. And me and Sean was going back and forth yesterday about my team, and he was like, "Well, y'all bringing in a gang of old vets, and you know, you need to bring in talent." I was like, "Well, what do you think we trying to do? We bringing in veterans right now to fill in the gaps. You know what I mean? To where we need help at." And we're going to hit on our drafts for the next couple of years.
Right.
So where these dudes that we signed up for 2 years, you know what I'm saying? The young dudes have developed for, you know, from this year, next year, and then we can get rid of them old dudes and have the young dudes step up. So, you know, I'm excited, homie, on the real, because Calvin was trying to talk shit about Maurice Jones-Drew. Like, oh, he didn't hurt, he ain't really did shit. But my whole thing is, how ironic is it that this nigga started getting hurt when Jacksonville didn't want to give him his money?
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, my foot. Like in week two or three, and then play for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he was like, fuck them. Yeah. He's like, I ain't going out here, you know, putting in work. Like, if you think about it, he's putting so much work for Jacksonville. And then when it came time to get his money, they was like, nah.
Basically.
He's like, fuck y'all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to always be conscious of that. Like, when a dude kind of like falls off for 1 year, you got to examine why. You know what I mean? I think it's a good signing for y'all, you know what I mean? Because, like, if y'all was going to go into the season just relying on
McSavage?
Yeah.
But, okay, no, Rob, I really need you to start, when you mention this dude, you really need to start saying Darren McSavage.
McSavage.
I don't want to hear McFadden no more, homie. He's Darren McSavage. I don't even care if he rushed for 1,500 yards.
He's not sad, though. He just get hurt all the time.
Well, he's sad, homie. He's a sad man. I think
where he could be good is, like, not as an every down back, but use him how they use Sproles.
Yeah, he could be a third down back.
Like a versatile weapon. You know what I mean? Because he can do everything.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, the nigga just stay getting hurt, though. You know what I mean? So, yeah, either that or he, one of them niggas like, well, I don't feel like playing, so I got my money, and I'm going to just fake like I'm hurt.
I think he could be one of those. I can see it.
Because
he always hurt, huh?
But, yeah, y'all made some good moves, though, man. I can't even front. Like, y'all definitely got better. If you look at what y'all did defensively, between Justin Tuck and Lamar Woodley, offensively, you got, what's that? Who's the receiver's name?
James Jones.
Y'all still got, what's the other receiver y'all still got? Be putting in work.
The youngster?
Yeah.
We got Streeter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another, I forgot the dude's name. He's from San Diego State, though, a little young cat.
Right. And then you added, through trade, you added Matt Schaub. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all are a better team than you were last year. And y'all weren't sorry last year.
Yeah, and we beefed up the offensive line. That was our major problem, was the offensive line. And we brought in, one, two, three new guys?
Yeah.
You know, so hey, man, I think we're on the right track.
Yeah, for sure, man. The AFC West is gonna be brutal next year, homie. Like,
you know what? I was thinking about that. Okay,
what you think?
And I think that the Chargers ain't gonna do what they did last year.
How do you mean?
9-7 to sneak into the playoffs.
You don't think we'll be 9-7? What do you think our record's gonna be?
Maybe a win or two less.
It's like 8-8.
Yeah, 7-9.
I think, okay, I'll put it like this. I see us as an 8-8 team, and then depending on some luck or, you know, whatever, I think every team is pretty much an 8-8 team.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on luck or whatever, you know what I mean, however some shit goes, you might.
Well, you talking about from the West? AFC West? Or you just
I just mean most teams in the NFL.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, if you look at the Chargers, we could, I view us as an 8-8 team, and then let's say, you know, we have a game where, you know, the opposing quarterback have a bad game, you sneak and get a win or something. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, the NFL is fluky like that, where one bad week for another team, and you can sneak and get a win. So, I agree with what you're saying. You know what I mean? Like, you know, not going to be 9-7 and get in the playoffs. Right. But we're not going to be a starry team, I don't think. You know what I mean? We're not a pushover. There's no pushovers in the AFC West.
Yeah, I just think y'all going to be average. Because, see, this is the thing, man, like, you know how Charger fans get.
Uh-huh.
You know, and now that y'all, I'm gonna keep saying it, snuck through the back door, homie, and got to the playoffs. Everybody's hyping this team up.
Oh, people talking like this team go about to be good?
Yeah, so I think the hype isn't warranted. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man, let's be real. Let's be real about this situation.
Oh, we still have a ton of holes right now. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna wait till after the draft before I start like saying, oh, I think we're gonna be this or we're gonna be that. But like, if you look just defensively, we got a huge hole in nose tackle. You can't play the 3-4
without a good one.
Yeah. So that's huge right there. Yeah. We still got holes at cornerback. Still got holes at safety and receiver. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Offensive line is okay, depending on how healthy Dunlap can stay.
Yeah, that's another thing, too.
You know what I mean? So,
and you remember, don't forget about Hardwick.
Right. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? Like, we got a lot of question marks, you know what I mean? So, I hope people ain't talking like old boy from the bar up the street. Like, 14-2. Yeah. Like, come on,
that's
man.
I don't even know his name. That's what I'm going to start calling him. Like, 14-2, man.
Right.
How you doing?
You think we're going to be 14-2 every year. But yeah, man, like, we're not that at all. Like, we're about where we were last year. 8-8, 9-7, you know, right around there. You know, if they feed Ryan Matthews from the start, we might, you know, have a few more wins, you know what I mean? Because you saw, like, we talked about this well before we started having the podcast, but we both been saying, like, you got to feed Ryan Matthews. Right. You got to feed Ryan Matthews. And this was the first coaching staff who actually did it, you know what I mean? So we'll see if that continues, but I agree. Now, like, what do you think y'all Raiders are going to be, though? How you think y'all are shaping up? What kind of team y'all going to be?
Well, like I said, I want to see what we do in a draft, and because we can go in so many directions when it comes to that number 5 pick, and so many things can happen prior to us getting, you know, before we pick. So, because, you know, I'm hearing teams might want to trade up, fucking Houston might want to trade down, I don't know. You know, so, I mean, like I said, I gotta see who we get out of the draft, and then I'll be able to see, you know, what we really got, you know. But
you still think they should take Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, I still think he's the best player in the draft, even with clowning in it. I think it's like a 1A and a 2A or however you want to put it. But I think those dudes are pretty much neck and neck. You can't go wrong with those two guys. So if Watkins is off the board and Clowney's still on there, I'll take Clowney or vice versa. You know what I mean? But it's kind of hard because I don't see them dudes staying on the board. I see them being off the board by the time we pick.
What if Johnny Manziel sitting there?
I mean, you know what, man? On the real, the more I think about Johnny Manziel, homie, the more I like him. I ain't
going to buy into the hype.
But no. But what I'm saying is that don't mean that I want him, though.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want a quarterback with the number 5 pick, with the team we have right now. Because I think we need somebody who's going to be able to help us right now.
Immediate impact.
Yeah, right. not 2-3 years down the line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then, you know, I'm hearing prior about he's on his way out.
Yeah, he asked for a trade this week.
Yeah, you know what? I ain't going to lie, Robert. I think, you know, it's good that we picked up Matt Schaub, but I like prior. You know what I mean? I hate to see him leave, and I think that he might go somewhere and become a good quarterback, homie.
Like, everybody shits on him, but he showed signs, you know what I mean? And he got better as the year went on. I don't know why they gave up on him late in the year in favor of, what was the other dude?
McGloin.
It's like, yo, McGloin has a very low ceiling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Prior, if he reaches full potential, could be a lot better than McGloin. So, like, I was talking to dude I work with, Luis, he a Raider fan. And I was talking to him about this before the season last year. I was like, yo, man, look, if y'all going to roll with Pryor, y'all should just roll with Pryor for the whole season and just do a full season evaluation on him, right? And it's like, and it seemed like that's what they were doing to start out. And then for whatever reason, I don't know the details of why, but it's like, well, let's give McGloin a shot. Let's look at McGloin.
Well, I think what happened was Pryor was playing good up to that KC game. And I ain't gonna lie. No, the first half he was looking good. In the second half, I don't know what happened. A couple of linemen got hurt, so more pressure's getting put on them.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Took like
that
10 sacks or something like that. And then the next game, I believe, was either against the Giants. He had hurt his knee. So that's when they put the other young kid in. And I felt like they almost used that as an excuse not to put him back in.
Right.
You know what I mean? So McGloin played about 6 games, and then fucking prior played the last game of the season against Denver, and he actually played good, but we got smashed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like, and you know what, man? And I hate to say this. I think that sometimes that white people are almost programmed to where, you know, if niggas don't do something, then you gotta snatch them out real fast instead of giving them chances. Because I remember when you said my nigga, how many white quarterbacks have fucked up in NFL history? It did chance after chance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you said that, I was like, damn, I mean, it's real, homie. It's like they bang on black quarterbacks so much and they get one opportunity.
That's it.
They blow the opportunity, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, nigga, look how many opportunities Ryan Leaf got.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's true equality. True equality is not an equal number of black and white quarterbacks.
Right.
True equality is when a black quarterback can fuck up
and
fuck up and fuck up and fuck up and then still get another shot.
Right, right.
That's equality. Right. You know what I mean? I feel you. So, I mean, I don't know. But if you're Terrell Pryor, though, do you want to stick around?
You don't.
That's what I'm saying. You're like, you gotta go. Let me go somewhere else.
I don't blame him. And he's not wishing the best of luck. But
he can go to someplace like Jacksonville, who ain't got no quarterback. Yeah. Depending on what Cleveland does in the draft, you know what I mean? They might not have a quarterback going into the season, right? Like, it's opportunities out there for a dude like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I wish him the best of luck, but I know it's going to blow up in our face. And we're going to be like, damn, we had that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it is what it is, though. It's football, fuck it. Who cares?
For sure. It should be an interesting season. I can't wait for the season. Because another thing I think is Denver and Kansas City about to come back to the pack a little bit. I don't think Denver's going to be as good as they were last year.
I don't think so.
I don't think KC's going to be anywhere. Because, KC, they were, I don't want to say a fluke, because a fluke always takes away. But, like I say, I feel like most teams in the NFL start off at 8-8, right?
Okay.
And then a little luck here, a little luck there. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you watch them early in the year, they had a lot of games where it's like, yo, they should kind of lose this game.
Yeah,
and then just circumstances allowed them to win. So they got off to that really hot start.
Right.
Then at the second half of the year, they kind of came back to the pack. Uh-huh. And they were like a little over 500 or something like that. Yeah. Right. So I don't think they're as good as their record was last year. I think Denver is a year older. They lost. When I start drinking, I'll be losing track of names.
What position?
The receiver.
Oh,
right.
Decker.
Yeah, they lost Decker.
Okay, but see, I don't mean to cut you off, but you got to. Denver done brought in a gang of pieces, homie. Talented pieces.
That's true.
Because they brought in Emmanuel Sanders. He got it. He got great hands. He can run.
What was their record last year?
I think they had the best in the AFC.
14-2?
No, I think it was 13-3? I think it was 12-4, I think.
Okay, so how much better you think they're 14-2, 15-1?
No, I'm saying they're going to be around the same.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, fair. I mean, 12-4 is exceptional in football.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, the way I look at it, I agree with you on KC. I think they'll come back down to earth a little bit, but they still have a talented team.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as what they need to do is they need Alex Smith to start taking more chances.
That's not him, though.
But I know. That's not him, but it's almost like he... Because, you know what? I watched KC a handful of times last year. And it would be times where he was just sitting in the pocket and he would be like, I'm not doing that. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to throw it away.
Right.
Man, fuck that sometimes. You just got to go downfield and let your big boy Dwayne Bowe or whoever it is, go make some plays, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think they'll come back down to earth. But I think it's fucking Denver's division to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't see it happening.
Yeah. I think the division winner is going to be no more than 10 or 11 wins, though, because we play against... The AFC West plays against the NFC West this year.
Okay.
I mean, I just think for AFC West teams, this is going to be a vicious schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to play Seattle, got to play San Fran, got to play Arizona. Mm-hmm. St. Louis ain't no pushover.
Yeah, pushover.
And then I feel like all the teams in the AFC West are playoff contenders right now. Okay. Even y'all. You know what I mean? Like, as much as it pains me to say it, you know what I'm saying? I look at what y'all did in the offseason so far, not even counting the win, even had the draft yet.
Yeah.
Y'all at least an 8-8 team. And then, like I said,
I can see that.
Like, you know, depending on what happens, a game here, a game there, uh-huh. you know, a bad call here, a bad call there.
Uh-huh.
That two more wins, all of a sudden, y'all 10-6.
Yeah, Las Vegas calling in.
Right.
Hey, Nick, you better throw a flag on this next play. Y'all fucking up.
Nah, but Las Vegas calls in against y'all, though.
I bet real shit.
Tough rule.
Oh, you know what, man? I will never forget that day, homie. Watching that game. I'll never forget that day, homie.
I can't blame you because, and look, every single person watching that game, I don't give a fuck who you are. Mm-hmm. You ain't never heard of no fucking Tuck rule before that exact moment. Mm-hmm. When they came out and was like, well, Tuck rule, if the quarterback... I was like, what?
Yeah, nigga, that's why everybody's like confused. Like, what the fuck are they talking about? Yeah. And it was fucked up because you still got to play the game. Mm-hmm. But see, I hate when people say, well, yeah, they still had an opportunity. No, wait a minute. Them is motherfuckers who ain't never played sports before. Mm-hmm. Because you got to understand, man, when you playing sports, it's so much emotions and momentum that's built into, you know what I'm saying, the actual game. To where something like that, it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
It's like getting punched in the stomach. Anybody ever been punched in the stomach before? You know, it's like, it just like, take all the wind out of you. Yeah. It's like, fuck, we had it.
Yeah, now you gotta get up and continue to fight. No, never got the wind knocked out of me. I can't fight right now.
But it's funny because it was y'all.
Yeah, no. I think that was our best team at that little period right there. That was our best team right there, dude.
Yep. Oh, man, that's too funny. All right, man, that's pretty much it for the updates on our team.
Fuck NFL. Greedy bastards.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. That article you sent me about Mark Cuban. Uh-huh. Real quick, we're waiting for the draft and shit. Ain't much cooking right now until the draft start. Did you see Johnny Manziel's pro day and everything that went on with that?
No, I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Yeah.
I heard it was like a big-ass show.
First of all, I mean, it came out there in pads, which is weird. Nobody does that.
Okay, let me ask you a question before you get any deeper into this. You don't think that was a good idea?
On his part?
Yeah.
It's good after the fact. We look at the result and say, okay, he played good, he did good, and he executed those. My thing is, the pro day is to make you look as good as possible. So don't put anything on you that's going to hinder you, right?
Okay.
Because, like, I don't know, I feel like, okay, let's say he missed a couple mm-hmm. more throws or whatever. They can mm-hmm. say, oh, well, he had pads on or whatever. Like, look, if you can go out there in shorts and a t-shirt mm-hmm. and complete 100%,
yeah.
then you do it. You know what I mean? I get what you're saying, though, like, because, like, when you play football, you play it in pads. Right. So why not do your pro day in pads? But the pro day is not about, well, this is how I play football. It's about, let me look as good as I possibly can mm-hmm. to get these niggas all hyped up about drafting.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Like, say I was an agent and that was my dude. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, no, we're not doing that. We're doing shorts and a t-shirt.
Okay, so this is how I looked at that situation. Because you already had people saying he's going to slip mm-hmm. before he even did his pro workout.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my eyes, on the outside looking in, I'm looking at it like, okay, maybe he was thinking, well, shit, they already saying I'm dropping anyway. So, no, let me do something a little different. To raise my stock. Because even, let's just say I do fuck up. You know what I mean? They're already talking about I'm dropping anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm dropping regardless of, you know what I'm saying, if I fuck up. Mm-hmm. But if I do exceptionally well with pads and a helmet, my stock may rise. And Ron Jaworski already talking about, oh, this changed my whole outlook on Johnny Manziel because he threw it.
I'm like, on the pro day? Because of the pro day?
Because of the pro day. But see, that's what I'm saying. These motherfuckers, like you were saying, it shouldn't be like one aspect of all this shit that you should just focus on and then say, I'm not going to draft him or I am going to draft him. Mm-hmm. But they do that, Robert. That's, this mind-boggling, homie.
That's so crazy to me.
Yeah.
Well, I think the main reason he dropping is just because, like, if you look at the top of the draft and the teams who need a quarterback aren't mm-hmm. going to take a quarterback, mm-hmm. you got Houston. It's like, if he don't go to Houston, where's he going to go? You know what I mean? He's not going to St. Louis because they already came out and said that they're sticking with Bradford.
Okay.
Jacksonville, Cleveland.
I mean.
But if they don't like him for whatever reasons, right?
Cleveland said they don't like him already. They didn't even go to the pro day.
That's what, so you know they're not drafting him. They didn't even show up at his pro day.
But you know what?
Hey,
you know
that's what? Bad management.
But
though.
You know what? You know what? You never know what these. With these teams, though, they be throwing a smoke screen. So maybe they could, you know what I mean, to where they want motherfuckers think we ain't drafting them in. Maybe that's why they made a movie about the Browns called Draft Day, because they be doing some crazy shit.
It should be called Draft Day, where we fuck up.
Yeah. Draft Day fuck-ups. Starring the Cleveland Browns.
That's crazy. They didn't even
and the Raiders.
They ain't even send nobody to his pro day.
Yeah.
Oh, no, shit. No. So, damn. Okay, so then that leaves, if he don't go to Jacksonville at 3, y'all probably ain't gonna take him at five. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
I don't think so either.
I don't think you
trade. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, you don't trade for Schaub and then take a quarterback at five. Yeah.
But like I said, I would not be surprised. We got a GM.
Who would you call him? Redhead.
Yeah, Redhead. OG Redhead. Who like drafting injured niggas? So yeah. I mean, why not trade for a quarterback and draft one?
Ain't no telling.
Yeah.
Atlanta's definitely not taking him at six. Mm-hmm. So he may go, you know, he can still go top 10. Yeah. Tampa Bay at 7, Minnesota at 8.
And Tampa, Lovie Smith is not in love with your boy.
What's
his name? Glennon or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovie will be like, fuck this nigga.
Yeah.
Let me get somebody else in there. So, yeah, he'll probably still go top 10.
I think he will.
It's enough teams in the top 10 who need a quarterback where he'll probably go that high. Once you get outside the top 10, though, it's a little more sketchy. So, all
right.
If he don't go top 10, he can drop to the late first round, though. So, we'll see.
No, Noah, I'm going to say this right now. If he don't go on the top 10, Dallas Cowboys is going to draft him, homie.
You think so?
Yep.
They already got one quarterback who be fucking up.
I know. He can mentor him then.
You don't want Tony Romo mentoring your quarterback.
Why not?
Cause man, fuck that. the main reason I wanted to bring up his pro day too, though, man. Like, here he had like music and shit, rap music and shit playing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, he's bumping Drake, so he already. If I was evaluating him, I would have my notepad points off because this nigga bumped Drake.
What's wrong with Drake,
man?
Drake.
Drake is everything that's wrong with the youth of America right
now. Man, I agree.
It's like, okay, real quick, this is off topic from sports, but it's okay if you emotional, you want to be sensitive on a rap track. If that's your thing, that's fine. But you can't on one song be talking about motherfuckers never loved us and like you acting like you hard and shit and you shoot niggas and you do all that shit. All right. Then in the next track be crying about a bitch. Like, no, you can't. Like,
there's some niggas out there like that, dog.
They shouldn't be.
That's funny.
You know, it's like, look, don't get me wrong. Like, look, every nigga who act like they just the hardest nigga ever, we've all had our moments where it's like, dang, that bitch got me. And that's fine. But what I'm saying is, if you're trying to be a rapper, you're trying to put forth a persona,
don't
act like you hard while you at the same time crying over bitches, crying over strippers, you know what I mean? Like, and the problem is, these young niggas fuck with it. Yeah. And so these young niggas listen to this shit and think that's what it's supposed to be about.
Okay. Yeah, so, I agree. Okay, I got you.
And like I said, if I'm a scout and I'm evaluating Johnny Manziel, that goes in the evaluation.
Man, that's funny, homie.
But yeah, I always shout out my favorite podcast, the Black Eye Tips. The other one I fuck with is Firestarter Podcast. Mm-hmm. They got this expression.
Firestarter.
FIYASTARTER. Fire starter.
Right? Why he named it? Why?
That's just what they called it.
Tell him he can't say that shit in Southern California.
Fire? Why?
Because, nigga, we be having wildfires and shit.
It's like, we sensitive about that.
He gonna be the first suspect.
Yeah. But I think I told you about this before. They got this expression called "it one."
If it was a nigga,
if that was a nigga. And that's my whole thing about the hip hop music and the rap music.
Okay.
So imagine if Teddy Bridgewater was bumping some music at his pro day. Come on, homie. If that was a nigga, I'd be like, oh, get this nigga today. Today, them scouts would just be with their arms crossed,
disgusted. Like, you know what's crazy, bro? I didn't even think about that.
It just hit me when I heard, like, okay, this nigga had music, rap music playing.
I'm like dancing and shit.
Yeah.
Acting real coonish.
Yeah, they said, they called it, he shows a little bit of Hollywood at his pro day. I'm like, Hollywood? Oh, so when he do that shit, it's Hollywood, but if a nigga do that shit, what would they call it, right?
It just
goes back to, like I always talk about, man, the tone that they use when they cover shit. It's like, yeah, man, it just pisses me off because my whole thing, I'm all about fairness and equality.
Mm-hmm.
Be fair, be equal. You know what I mean?
But you know it ain't equal.
I know it's not. That's what pisses me off.
You know what? Next year, I hope a black quarterback come out next year does the same shit.
I hope so too.
You know, just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Just to prove a point.
Because what they gonna say? What would they say?
They gonna just hate, homie.
Oh, what if Cam had did it?
They would have blew him out the water.
They already had niggas talk about he got a disingenuous smile.
Yeah, that's like really
like his smile. The nigga can't smile.
Right. Dang, that shit is crazy, homie.
So yeah, fuck that shit. You know, and the thing is, I don't even hate on Manziel for it. That's not his fault.
I like Johnny Football.
He just doing his thing, but it's just, I don't know, that shit just grates at me. That kind of shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
All right, man, let's see. The other big story with the NFL this past week, man, your boy DeSean Jackson, a.k.a. Crippen.
Come real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny, go
on. The Eagles just released that nigga, man. They couldn't get a trade offer for him, and I heard it was like all the way down to like a third round pick they was looking for. Nobody was willing to give up a third round pick for him. And
what's their fault though? Because they should never let it be known that they wanted to get rid of him.
Right.
So they shot themselves in the foot.
They knew it was because, like, look, once you let it be known you're trying to get rid of, you want to get rid of a nigga, and then teams look at what his salary cap number is. It's like nobody's gonna trade for him because they know you probably gonna cut him anyways.
Yeah.
And then he'll be on the open market, and you can sign him for less than what his cap number is. Because like he was scheduled to make $11 or $12 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think $11 or $12 million with the Eagles next year, right? And so like we're gonna talk about all the gang shit like that in a minute, but. Just for the record, that's why they cut that nigga. If that nigga was scheduled to make $3 million next year, he'd still be an Eagle, right? So they try to come out and be like, oh, his gang ties is why they're cutting him and this and that.
Yeah, it was money.
Yeah, they wasn't about to pay. No team was willing to trade a third round pick for him, so no team is really wanting to pay $11 to $12 million for DeSean Jackson, which I don't know if I can say I blame him. You know what I mean? That's a lot of cap money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of cap money, but he had his best season last year.
He did.
So, but see, it's crazy because I see why. No, before I say that, everybody don't understand, and most fans will never understand this. Football's a business, so when you don't have guaranteed contracts, it's easy for you to ship pieces around and get rid of pieces. So when they got Macklin coming back, even though you know he's coming up back off a fucked up injury, we know what he's capable of. So it's like, okay. We've seen Foles, what he did last year. You had the white boy, the racist motherfucker. He stepped up, put in work. So maybe we can slide Macklin to where DeSean Jackson was doing.
Be that deep threat.
You know what I mean? And not have to pay DeSean Jackson that money and then bring in maybe another receiver through the draft. So it's all business.
Right.
Because if it was off the game, shit, they'd have got rid of him a long time ago.
Exactly. Because he's been crippling since he got in the league.
Right.
like he ain't never hid the fact that, like, if you, all you got to do
is look at his record label, the name of his record label.
What's it called?
It's called Jackpot with two C's. And so let me break the ground for y'all motherfuckers, homie. Because y'all see how Black Rob is laughing. Did you know that? See, Black Rob didn't know that. Black Rob didn't know that. So let me break it down to y'all motherfuckers who's not hip to this type shit, homie. Because we grew up in the hood around gangs and shit. So we know about this, homie. That's all you had to see, homie. Look up his record. The name of his record label is called Jackpot. Spell Jackpot, Robert.
J-A-C-K-P-O-T.
Okay, so the way he spells it is J-A-C-C-P-O-T. So can I break down why he did
that? Go ahead.
So to all your motherfuckers that know about this shit, let me break it down to you, okay? So you know, when you grow up in Southern California, a lot of our neighborhoods is gang infested. So you got Bloods and Crips, okay? So with the Bloods they do, or the Bloods they say CK, which is Crip Killer, and the Crips they say PK, which is Blood Killer. So what Crips do whenever they got a word that got a CK in it because they feel it's disrespectful, they replace the K with a C because it still has the same sound. You know what I mean?
Right.
So instead of having G A C K, he put G A C C. And the only reason for you to do that is if you're affiliated with that type shit,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's only obvious, homie. I ain't no dumb.
Oh, shit. That shit fucked me up.
Yeah. You see?
I just found it right here. Look, here's his website for GACCPOT.
Look at all the Crip niggas got on. He had a, because I was looking at it earlier, homie. He had Snoop on here, some other niggas from LA. I was like, oh, okay, y'all, these Crip niggas on this shit.
Yeah, so what happened was the Eagles released him on Friday, and after they released him, which this goes back to something we've talked about before, man. These teams feel the need to slander a dude on the way out, you know what I mean? It can't just be like, hey, you know, we appreciate everything that DeSean Jackson's done for us as an Eagle, you know, the financial side of the sport. Sometimes we have to move on for a player, you know, blah, blah, blah. We wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
They talked about his work ethic, talked about, you know, me, him being a distraction in the locker room. Then it was like, oh, he got the gang ties, and which I was reading about this shit. He do got some gang ties. He got ties to niggas who was on trial for catching bodies, nigga. Like, niggas who was killing people. So I get that. But they tried to make it sound like the reason that they cut the nigga was because of the gang ties. No, the reason they cut the nigga was because of that $11 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Plain and simple, homie. Because like I said earlier, if it was about the gang ties, you'd have did that shit a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's fucked up. But you know what? The thing is, all that shit that you just said about DeSean Jackson is... it's true though. He was a distraction in the locker room. You know what I mean? He's a knee guy. I don't have a problem with it. But I mean, if it comes out like that, I mean, don't be mad, homie.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I do understand what you're saying. They don't have to put that out there like that. Let's be real, homie. I mean, we don't want to pay you, homie, so you gotta go.
Right.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
All you gotta say.
Yeah, that's all you gotta say.
But so where do you think he gonna end up?
Oakland.
Hold up now.
Yeah, go ahead. So I can pass you.
Now, a couple weeks ago, I don't even remember what episode it was, but we were talking about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you said you can't bring in dudes with gang ties, at least not in the area close to where they, you know, they had the gang ties.
Yeah.
So, but you would be okay with bringing DeSean Jackson in?
Because this is my thing, homie. And I did say that. But the difference with the Aaron Hernandez situation and with DeSean Jackson is Aaron Hernandez had already been in trouble before he got drafted. You know what I'm saying? And they knew he had gang. The gang ties was getting him into certain situations, especially when he was in high school, homie.
What did he get in trouble for in terms of gang shit?
Yeah, when he was in high school, they had some shit where he was questioned about the shit that happened.
Right, he was questioned, though.
Yeah, no, but he was there, though.
He was never as a suspect, though. It wasn't like...
But shit, he was involved. He was there when the shit happened.
No, okay, they found out after the fact that he did the shit. Because what happened was when he got arrested for the Odin Lloyd shit... and then they searched the house and gathered up all the guns. Then they ran the ballistics test on all the guns.
No, I'm talking about shit that happened while he was in high school.
But what I'm saying is, like, he was questioned just, nigga, questioning could mean, okay, nigga, you was at, we've been at parties and shit that got shot up.
Still, he got in trouble in college and shit, you know, got in fights and was smoking weed, all that shit, whatever. But what I'm saying is, like, with DeSean Jackson, I mean, I don't see him, he never got into any trouble, though. You know what I mean? Yeah, he might have had a gang ties, but it seemed like he was keeping it separate. You know what I mean? He wasn't getting himself involved with certain shit. Well, at least not to this point what we know of.
Well, okay. See, I think... Like, I didn't realize how tied up he was to this shit until recently.
See, I still don't know how deep it is.
Like, okay.
All I did was look at the nigga's record label. And I said, that's enough for me.
Because, like, there's, like, pictures of him... with these niggas who were on trial for murder. Like, his homies that he kicking with, that he bring around the Eagles organization, is niggas that were on trial for murder and shit. Because they seen a nigga wearing red and they threw shots at him. Like, that was the extent of it. Like, so...
He dumb, dude. Why you bringing your thug-ass homies to your job? Would you ever bring your homeboys to your job?
I would barely bring y'all niggas to the job. And y'all niggas ain't even, like, you know what I'm saying?
This nigga's gonna get me fired.
Right. And y'all some good niggas, but like, I mean, we'd be tippy-toeing around
right.
Let's be real. So like, if my homies was banged out like that, I'm like, look, y'all niggas ain't about to fuck up this money where we all get to kick it, where we all get to go and live a good life and, you know what I'm saying, get at these bitches. Like, I ain't about to bring y'all around the organization so they can be like, this nigga kick it with. Yeah. This nigga probably had niggas rolling up to the facility with blue rags.
Rag on, Super dodoed out,
blue chucks,
house shoes on with the back turned up, flat and shit, you know what I mean?
Nappy ass braids.
Yeah.
All right, let me stop before people start come looking for me.
That's funny, you know what I
mean? Look.
So what, Crips always got nappy braids or something?
I ain't saying Crips always got nappy braids.
But they do.
I'm just saying... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, look, man, this is like him.
Okay, so what is he throwing up?
I don't know, some Crip shit.
See, that's what I'm saying, homie. I ain't from LA, so I don't know the gang signs like that.
He from, like, Long Beach.
Long Beach, yeah.
And I don't know if this is the dude who is accused of shooting some niggas and shit. But, yeah, man, so it's like the LAPD had, like, called the Eagles, just, like, asking about this. These niggas he's kicking it with, they was, one of them was on trial and beat it. Another one was the main suspect, but they couldn't charge him, or they didn't have enough evidence to charge him or some shit like that. Like,
but they did the shit.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, like, we talk about gang ties and shit. gang ties always is like a problematic word. You know what I mean? Because right. What does that mean? Like, gang ties could just mean this nigga grew up in an area with a lot of gangs and he knows some niggas who's, you know, banged mm-hmm. out or whatever. Or nigga could have relatives that's in gangs or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or does it mean like this nigga
is hanging out with these motherfuckers?
Right. And like, it's like a ton of pictures of this nigga like in the club, yeah, you know what I'm saying, throwing up C's yeah. and shit.
See? Mm-mm, he's fucking up, homie.
Ignorant nigga, homie.
Yeah.
But he's still gonna get a contract. He's somebody gonna sign him yeah. because he's too good not to sign.
Right. And he's coming off his best season.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, Deshaun.
But you want him in Oakland, though. Right up the road from the LA niggas he banged with.
Yeah, niggas, that's my team, nigga.
See? This nigga backtracked on everything he said.
Just call me Moonwalker, homie. Call me Moonwalker, shit. When it comes to my team, all that shit is out the window.
This nigga backtracked on everything he said.
And then if he fucked up, I'm gonna be mad. Like, I always sign that nigga.
He gonna be on trial for murder and be like, I told y'all I should have signed that nigga.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. You kind of got a black coach?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, black coach in the Final Four. Oh, it's Kevin Ollie.
What? Okay, I did not know that, homie.
Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for UConn now.
Me too. That's crazy. Yeah, yeah, Deshaun, you fucking up, homie.
Yeah.
Stop tossing up C's and shit in the club, man. Right. Fuck.
That's the thing. Even if you are, you know what I'm saying, banged out, once you get to a certain level, be smart about your banging. You know what I mean? That's like, let's take it away from football. Let's say a nigga in the, because this nigga's in the corporate world.
Right.
Who came from some shit, right? Mm-hmm. Was banged out. Nigga, they don't be in the conference room talking about, what's up, Crip yeah, nigga, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or like, on Bloods, nigga. like during the meetings and shit.
Right.
Like, on Bloods, nigga, this proposal gonna be what's up. Trying to tell y'all. Like,
nigga, who got up in this motherfucker?
This nigga crazy. So it's just like, be smart about your shit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That goes for everybody out there. You never know who listens to this shit, man. If you banged out and, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you
be smart, nigga. Shit. Damn.
Well, we'll see where he ends up. I guess he's visiting with the Redskins this coming week.
Nah, he ain't going to the Redskins.
Why?
They got
he's like, I can't go to no team who got red in their uniform.
Yeah, so the Chiefs is out. Yeah, don't come to that silver and black, homie.
They said Charles Woodson said he wants him to go there. Mm. You know what I mean? Somebody else came. I think it was Woodson said if Al Davis was alive, he would sign him.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows where he's going to end up, man?
I mean, if we get him, it would be a good addition. As far as his talent.
In terms of just a pure football
mm-hmm.
scenario, yeah, man. Like, him as a receiver who can stretch the field and force defenses to have to account for the entire field. Like, you can't. Like, that's part of why LeSean McCoy had such a good year. Mm-hmm. It's not a coincidence that DeSean Jackson had his best year and LeSean McCoy had his best year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? When you have to account for a receiver who can stretch the field mm-hmm. that fast, you can't just stack the box up against a running back. And then you have a running back as good as LeSean McCoy. Uh-huh. That shit goes hand in hand. So he makes any offense better that he goes into. We'll see. We'll just see who's willing to deal with all that other bullshit. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Somebody will.
Let's see. Other NFL news, man. What you think about this shit where they came out and they banned niggas dunking on the as a touchdown celebration? You know, niggas dunk over the goalposts as a touchdown.
What was the reason why they did it?
They said, I guess like, what they said is they're going to start enforcing it now. Because they said it's always been a rule that you can't use the ball as part of your celebration, right? Like, so.
I mean, if you spike the ball then, right?
Supposedly. Who knows? Like, well, excuse me. Who knows why exactly? I know one thing, man. Like, I know one thing I don't like is when niggas who can't dunk try to dunk and then they make the shit. Like, they fuck it up. Like, they dunk on it and then the goalposts be all uneven and then some dude got to come out with his level, try to, like, get it back to level.
Now, if they were to say that, I would be all for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to come out and say, oh, because they're using football for props and we just... No, fuck that.
And the other thing, I'm not sure if this is... I was reading about... Trying to figure this out, but they're raising the goalposts uprights from 30 to 35 feet.
The uprights?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's just strictly make the uprights higher mm-hmm. or if they're moving the crossbar mm-hmm. up 5 feet higher, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're moving it up 5 feet higher, mm-hmm. then you don't even need to make this a rule because can't no nigga dunk on 15-foot shit. So, who knows, man? But everybody's like, oh, no fun league. They won't let niggas celebrate, da-da-da. I'm like, look, I done seen too many niggas who can't dunk make this shit go out of plumb or out of level, and then there's always a black dude got to come up with a ladder. You know, he just be like, he did all his work before the game, right, got everything set up, some black dude on the grounds crew, he's like, man, I get to just sit back, watch the game now. And then some nigga make the shit go out of love. He's like, oh, these niggas get these, you know, it's an old black dude. These old non-jumping ass niggas. Yeah. Make that brother have to pull out a ladder and get the shit back level.
Man.
But there were some other rule changes, too, that they made. So, mm-hmm. They're doing a shit with the uprights.
Okay.
They're making an adjustment to the replay system where, the office in New York is going to be involved, where I guess the refs can contact them and discuss, I don't know, some shit. But my whole thing is they need to just adopt the college instant replay rules, man. That's the best football instant replay rules I've seen. So, where it's like, there's no challenges, there's no,
when there's a questionable.
Right. You have an entire, a ref or a couple of refs whose whole job it is, they're just like watching replays and like, oh, that shit's questionable. Mm. They buzz down to the refs on the field and say, hey, let's look at this.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But I can fuck with that.
It's all fucked up. Let's see, what's the other ones? They're talking about moving the extra point attempt from the 2-yard line to the 25 yard line.
I can fuck with that too.
Yeah, because they're saying extra points are pretty much automatic right now.
Yeah.
So.
Make it more challenging. I can fuck with that.
Taunting penalties. I guess they're going to try to start enforcing more taunting. So they don't want niggas to talk shit no more.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Let them niggas play, man.
Yeah, it's not on play, homie. Especially it's a physical sport. Yeah, you're going to talk shit. Like, yeah, I fucked you up. Shut your ass up, homie. Yeah, so, man, let them niggas talk shit.
Let's see. I mean, those were the main ones, but, every offseason they try to come up with some new rules and make the game better, which is good. They're always trying to tweak it, but sometimes I feel like they overlook, obvious shit in favor of little minor shit.
Like what?
Well, like I said, with the replay shit, it's so convoluted where it's you gotta throw a challenge flag,
certain shit is
reviewable and not and other shit.
Everything
is
should be reviewable.
Yeah. Hold on, where is it? They called it the Navarro Bowman rule. Okay, remember in the playoff game where Navarro Bowman fucked his knee up?
Yeah.
But he recovered that ball, but they said it was not reviewable or some shit, and the Seahawks got another play.
Yeah.
I think they ended up stopping him eventually,
but still though,
right? So, here it is. The so-called Navarro Bowman rule, which makes plays in which a loose ball is recovered subject to replay review. The alteration stems from Bowman's recovery of an apparent fumble by the Seahawks receiver Jermaine Kearse that was instead blown dead by an official's whistle in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, so if the official blows it dead, okay, well now we can't review it. Right. But it's if you see the shit was clearly a fumble and then the other nigga clearly recovered it, why are we not reviewing it and getting the shit right?
That happened to us this year too, homie.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, I think it was playing against, I forgot who it was, but I think it was the Bengals at the pad, and it was a pass to the running back. He got blasted, and he fumbled the ball, and it was like third down, I think it was, right? No, it was like second down or something like that. And we recovered and ran for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They blew it back, and it was close at that time, and same shit, and we ended up losing the game, homie. It was like a momentum changer, homie. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And it was clearly a fumble, but yeah, man, you got that, all that shit needs to be reviewable, homie. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Make it. It's like we have the technology to look at all this shit from all different angles. Let's use it. So those were the main ones, man. Other than that, let's see. That's pretty much it. It's off season. We waiting for the draft. Not much cooking with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
This article you sent me is pretty good though. Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
He says the NFL bubble is going to burst, and he estimates about 10 years from now. So,
I mean, did you read the article?
Yeah, I read it.
And knowing he made some valid points.
Mm-hmm. He says, I'm just telling you, when you've got a good thing and you get greedy, it always, 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 always turns on you. That's rule number one of business. He said, the NFL, let's see. He says, they're trying to take over every night of TV, Cuban said. Initially, it'll be, they're the biggest rating thing that's there. Okay, Thursday, that's great. Regardless of whether it impacts the NBA that period when we cross over. Then if we get Saturdays, now you're impacting colleges. Now it's on 4 days a week. It's all football at some point. The people get sick of it. That was his main point. They're trying to basically oversaturate. Because they're going for... they're still going to do Thursday nights, which is stupid.
Yeah, I hate that.
Because the games are never good, man. Because some niggas don't want to be out there. Like, we just played a fucking game on Sunday. You know what I mean?
We ain't get time to prepare. Our bodies are healed up. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be, yeah.
You know what I keep realizing the older I get, man, is a lot of people who are fans of this shit never played sports. And I don't even mean on like a high school or a college level. Mm-hmm. I just mean like just playing with your homies.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean playing with your homies like on a competitive level, right? Your body needs time to recover. You can't just bounce, you know what I mean?
I'm saying football.
Yeah.
Man.
You don't just go play a football game and then just bounce back and be like, okay, just play it on Sunday night. I'll be ready to go Thursday night. Your body be done. And like people forget these niggas is human. Like just from a human standpoint, it's hard to be like, I'm gonna go tackle this big motherfucker with full force while I'm exhausted, drained, and sore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why Fox Sports always got the robot up there, because when we see the robot, so, man, you laughing though. I'm about to be real serious with this shit.
And now a message from Conspiracy D.
Nah, bro, no, everything is propaganda when you're looking at that box. You gotta think outside the box and shit, man. Mm-hmm. Why you mean they put a robot out there? So they get a perception that these niggas is robots, homie. So we feel numb to the shit they go through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This nigga doing jumping jacks and shit. You know what I mean? Doing all kind of, you know, human moves and shit. You know what I mean? But it's like, why you always got this nigga before we leave and when we come back to the game? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So people be like, ah, man, these niggas is robots. You know what I mean? I'm trying to tell you, man, these motherfuckers know what they doing.
That may be true. I don't think it's that deep.
I think a lot of shit they put on TV is that deep, though. Huh? It is, man. I don't believe the word conspiracy. I just think these niggas put a lot of shit on TV to psych our minds, homie. You know what I'm saying?
But do you think the NFL bubble will eventually burst?
I think it will one day.
Yeah, I think so too. All bubbles burst. You know what I mean? No matter what no matter what it is, it always reaches a point of oversaturation where people get sick of it. I think the biggest thing with the NFL is it's going to be, I hate to sound morbid, but like death on the field where we see a motherfucker get killed.
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to have that moment of, oh, shit. Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. And I think also, too, there are a lot of people who are keeping their kids away from football now.
And the numbers are going down with the Pop Warner signs.
Yeah.
I think it went down by like 10%.
Mm-hmm. You better put your kids in baseball, get that baseball money. We're about to talk about that next.
Break bread.
But, yeah, man, so I think it definitely will eventually hit that bubble and burst. It'll be interesting to see what steps in and takes its place. But, like, everything's cyclical, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, baseball had its time where it was the prominent thing.
But it's still there, bro.
It is. I'm not saying, I don't think football will ever go away. You think it'll just completely just be done?
I don't think it'll be completely done, but I don't think it will stay to where it's making these billions of dollars.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Because it's too much shit that you got the Congress getting involved with the concussion shit and this all this shit, homie. I think the bubble's going to burst, and it's going to be some real drastic changes to football to where we're going to be like, damn, homie, I want to watch this shit.
I wouldn't be surprised if, similar to the shit we talked about, like with the SeaWorld shit, where OSHA gets involved and says, like, look, this is too inherently dangerous of an activity. You can't do this as a job because it's fucking dangerous, right? The dangers, you know what I mean, are too great, you know what I mean? It's not safe for human beings to do. To where it's changed like that. Who knows, man? Like, it's so many billions of dollars generated by the NFL, though. But like I say, man, all things burst eventually. I think it'll still be around. Just it might be in a totally different form than what we're used to now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Who knows? But yeah, Cuban made some good points, though, man. And that's one thing with the NFL, like, they're always looking to see how can we branch out, expand, and this and that. Mm-hmm. But one thing they're doing that I don't fuck with is the oversaturation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's on Sundays, it's on Monday nights, it's going to be Thursday nights, it's probably Saturday nights. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, man,
I'm cool with Sunday and Monday.
They're trying to make 18 games.
And yeah, nah, fuck you all know that, man. We ain't, yeah. I like football, homie, but, hey, two days, out of the week is cool. And it's cool because one of the days it's only one game. Mm-hmm. So I can fuck with that. But like you said, when it's coming off Saturday and Thursday, I don't even watch the Thursday night games.
I rarely do.
Yeah, because I'm busy and shit. I'm having shit to do. It's like, man, I'm not about to fucking cut my day short or whatever I got to do to come watch the fucking Browns play against the Bills.
Right.
Who the fuck you fooling, homie?
That's that greed, though. You know what I mean? It's like to try to squeeze, like, you know, a few tens of more million dollars, you know, out of them, you know, over that. So it is what it is. We'll see what happens, though, man. That's pretty much it for football, though. You got anything else on the NFL?
Yeah.
What?
Fuck football. They're greedy bastards.
And then next week when the Raiders sign Deshaun Jackson, it's going to be like, oh, nigga, I got my Deshaun Jackson jersey.
Nah, no, I would never buy another jersey again of him.
Is that right?
I never did.
I feel you.
Because you know what, man, why would I put more money to these greedy motherfuckers' pockets, homie?
Exactly.
The last jersey I bought was a McFadden jersey. That was his rookie year. Mm. Never again, homie.
Yeah.
Done dealing.
You know what's crazy, man, for me? Like, as I've gotten older, this happened. I don't know when it happened exactly, but, like, you know, I'm a Charger fan and shit like that. If the Chargers win, I'm happy. But more than anything, I root for players more so than teams.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in college, I only, like, you know, I've liked LSU ever since I was a kid and shit. Mm-hmm. But I watch college sports. I really don't care who wins or loses. I just want to see the kids do well and, go on. Mm-hmm. Same in the pros. I have players who I like. I'm like, I want to see that nigga do well because, at the end of the day, if the Chargers do well, that's more money for Dean Spanos or whatever. Right. And it's like, okay, well, fuck that nigga. He already rich. He don't give a fuck about me.
Yeah, he ain't doing shit for me.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a job, then, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Right.
Let me call some plays.
Shit. Can't do no worse than the niggas they've had over recent years.
Oh, man.
Get that Madden play calling going. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Moving on to baseball. Ain't much cooking. Opening day is tonight.
Dodgers and the Padres, baby.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out tonight. Cashner. Gonna start for the Padres.
I like him.
Hopefully they can get a win, get the season started off right against the front runner in the division, the Dodgers. Ain't no news really with the Padres or the NL West, but Kershaw went to the DL. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's great. That's good for the Padres, though.
Hell yeah.
Because when that nigga is going, he's
the best. He's the best pitcher in baseball.
By far, homie. Yeah. And that's saying a lot when you consider Justin Verlander, Felix Hernandez in Seattle. Yeah. There's a lot of good pitchers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only thing going. We'll recap. Each week, we'll kind of recap what the Padres did and didn't do as the season goes on, but ain't much cooking with them. The main thing going on in baseball right now is these ridiculous contracts niggas is getting signed to.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. Motherfucking lotto.
Niggas is getting broke off, homie.
Okay, now we see how we keep talking about football, how they on top. To me, I would say baseball's on top because their players is getting more money out of what they do.
I don't know the numbers of terms. Well, football is making more money than baseball.
Yeah, they're making more money, but they're not. But their employees, it's like Walmart.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Okay, Walmart make more money than any other, you know, grocery store. But they don't. But I know it's San Diego, but a lot of they employees don't get paid like they should. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like football's like that to where motherfucking baseball is like in and out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They still making a gang of money, but their employees is getting paid way well above than their competition.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, that's a good analogy right there. Because the players in football, they ain't getting paid nearly what they're worth. Or in terms of when you consider how much the sport makes, and then you look at what the top players in the sport make, there's a disconnect there. You know what I mean?
There's no guaranteed contracts.
Right.
That's what the biggest problem is.
But on the real, you can't. If you gave guaranteed contracts in football, niggas would be quitting like shit, nigga.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta word your contracts right to where, you know what I mean, that wouldn't be possible.
Because put it like this. Miguel Cabrera got 10 years, $292 million.
And he's 30.
I can't even say that.
And he's 30.
10 years, $292 million. Mm-hmm. He turns 31 in April.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. If you gave a nigga in football like that, that much money, now I don't give a fuck how much you love the game or how much of a competitor you are. It's real easy to take one of them fucked up hits. You, like, you get hit. Instead of you a quarterback, you get you got $292 million guaranteed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Somebody, Jadeveon Clowney comes off the edge and fucks you up. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's real easy when you laying on the ground there contemplating shit. You be like, you know what? This ain't even worth it. You know what I mean?
I got my change.
Yeah. So,
I feel you.
I get why football doesn't guarantee contracts. But, yeah, as far as, like, popularity, there's no question football is the most popular.
Right.
And baseball is at fault for that. They haven't done enough to make themselves as popular as they could be.
Right.
But I get what you're saying, though. Like, their players get broke off.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, 209. Look, for all y'all with sons out there, do me a favor. Go up to your son. Slap a book out of his hand right now. Tell that nigga stop reading.
And replace it with what?
Put a baseball bat, mm-hmm. a baseball, make him left-handed, tie his right hand behind his back, make him left-handed, he can pitch until his 40s.
Yep. And he ain't even got to be good at it.
He can be sorry.
He can be sorry.
Have a 5 ERA.
Continue to get job. Like, damn, that nigga was sorry last year.
Baseball is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera, he says he's 30. That nigga 35.
I mean, I don't know, because, you know, I remember when he came in the league, he did look like he was a real young kid.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
But on top of that, he's the best hitter in baseball by far right now.
That's the craziest part about this contract. He's worth it.
Yeah.
He's fucking triple crown winner. Right. 2 years
back
ago.
Back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anybody who say you don't deserve it, slap yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nobody in baseball right now who can hit that ball like he can.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
And he's fat, too. That's what I love about
him. Yeah, he's a fat. Yeah, he don't give a fuck. He be drinking and shit. He's a drunk, homie.
Hey, see, I feel like God didn't make me that good at baseball. if I was Miguel Cabrera good and I got $290 million guaranteed, I would be in the dugout drinking beer, nigga.
You'd be like in the dugout, hey, the little usher be coming down.
Hey, did they get two on me?
Yep.
Two million genuine trash play? Oh, okay, yeah. The camera would cut to me, nigga, I'd be sleeping. Nah, shit. I'm up. I'm on deck. Oh, okay.
And then hit a home run.
Real shit. Cause look, Miguel Cabrera is a nigga, you can tell he don't work out.
Hell no.
He don't do shit in the off season.
He's just it.
He's just a naturally gifted nigga who could step in the batter's box and hit that fucking ball.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was that good, nigga, I would be so ignorant. Not like disrespectful ignorant.
Right. Just do whatever you want to do.
Whatever the fuck I want to do. Yeah. I would have a beer with me. What are we playing? Third base or first?
Playing first.
First base now because they got rid of Prince Fielder. Nigga,
but you know why though.
What?
Like they supposedly got some ill ass third baseman that's coming up. That's why they moved.
That's why they moved Prince.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Nigga, I would have a beer in the first base coach box. I would sit my beer and I'd be like, hey nigga, watch out for my beer while you coaching. And in between pitches, I would sit my beer. I would treat it like beer league softball. Nigga.
No. Even better. My batting helmet would have the two beers on the side.
Yeah, nigga.
That's not what my bat had.
Yeah.
That shit would be funny. I ain't doing shit.
That nigga be taking his lead off and sipping a beer. Hey,
I wouldn't even lead off. I'd just be standing on the bag. Like, why'd you lead off? Nigga, because you picked me on. I mean, I got to get dirty.
Right.
Shit, fuck that. I am not getting dirty. Shit.
Oh.
I'm driving in these runs, nigga.
You couldn't tell me shit if I could hit a ball that good.
Hell nah. Be on the base pass getting saucy.
And still hit 300.
Still hit 300. Hit 300, 40 home runs, 20 RBIs.
Right.
Oh, that's funny, nigga.
Oh, shit.
Have a beer helmet, nigga.
That nigga, it's funny because that nigga's ill with it, like, without even working that hard. That's what I fuck with, though. Because, like, people sleep on how, I don't know, because we play baseball our whole life. So we get how difficult the game of baseball is.
Right.
And niggas who make it look that easy or who are just that fucking good at it, like, I have the utmost respect for them. Man. You know what I mean?
Because it's few that can get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's very few homies
where
you watch them home, you be like, damn, that nigga is just gifted.
Right. I never seen a nigga right-handed hitters so effortlessly take the ball to the other field, just like, and like always,
and it just goes over the fence.
Yeah,
like damn, he just hit that. Like damn.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and the other big contract that came this past week, Mike Trout got 6 years, $144.5 million. So Miguel got 29 per year, Trout got 24 per year. You know, pretty much on par. But the difference is Mike Trout's gonna be a free agent again. At the age of
28. Yeah. He's going to get a monstrous contract. He's going to get like $400 million.
Right.
10 years, $400 million.
He's going to get $440 million a year, dude. Yeah.
It's going to be crazy,
Holy
y'all.
Shit. Dang. That nigga's 22 years old. Making $24 million a year. Yeah. See, that's what I'm telling you. God looked at me and was like, nah, nigga, you wouldn't be able to.
You're going to be a fucker.
Yeah. Because think about the shit we was doing at 22 years old as some regular ass, you know what I mean, broke niggas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We was doing that, and everybody who listens to this, who knows us, is thinking right now, yeah, we was doing
some dumb shit. Yeah.
Right. That was at 22 as some regular ass broke niggas.
Mm-hmm.
If one of us had $24 million a year coming in, you know how ignorant we would have acted.
Man, you talking about TMZ and all that? We would have been on all them shows every night, homie. Mm-hmm.
In other news, Dally B's friend Black Rob punched a nigga in the club for no reason tonight.
I'm rich, bitch.
Oh, you couldn't have told us nothing.
Real shit, though.
But I'm happy for these niggas, though, man. That's what's up. Because, like, the thing is, man, in baseball, now's the time to be a baseball player. Because when you think about it, like, there's a lot of great players who played, like, when we was coming up in the 90s and early 2000s.
Mm.
Like, they didn't make this kind of money.
But they was getting contracts, but they wasn't getting this type of
money. This type of money, So, I got respect for it. Niggas who get this money, get your bread.
Man, get your bread, homie. You got to.
You know, and you know what's crazy is LeBron James came out this week. Ain't really much to talk about in the NBA, but LeBron James came out and said he's jealous of the Miguel Cabrera contract.
Hey, fuck it, be real.
Yeah. Here, I'm gonna read this article because it's kind of interesting. It's not that long.
Mm.
LeBron James says he was amazed and a little jealous when he heard Detroit Tigers star Miguel Cabrera sign a contract on Friday that guarantees him $292 million. I can't even say that without laughing.
guaranteed money. You can do whatever you want to.
Yeah,
you're gonna get that money.
That's what I'm saying. If he blow his knee out next week,
mm-hmm.
if he drink all the beers and get fat, right? Then he get to be 300 pounds. Yeah. He's still gonna get $292 million. Guarantees him $292 million over the next 10 years. 10 years. I said, wow, James said before the Miami Heat played the Detroit Pistons on Friday. I wish we, the NBA, didn't have a salary cap. Baseball, of course, does not have a salary cap. The NBA does, and players with James' experience level are capped at earning 35% of the $25 million salary cap, or of the $58 million salary cap, excuse me, and can sign for no more than 5 years. James will earn $19 million this season with the Heat, tied with teammate Chris Bosh for the ninth highest in the NBA. As part of a 6-year, $109 million deal he signed in 2010. He's the best player in baseball, and the best players in each sport should be rewarded, James said. It'd be nice to sign a 10-year deal worth $300 million.
Mm.
Hell yeah, it would, nigga.
And he's worth it, too.
LeBron?
Yeah.
He is. He's the best player. Wait, no, I read that. James earns about $40 million per year off the floor in endorsements, most of that coming from his deal with Nike, which reportedly is worth $19 million a year.
Mm.
Dang. Forbes magazine ranked James the fourth among athletes in total earnings earlier this year with more than $60
million. Ooh,
damn. Twice what Alex Rodriguez was paid. And James can opt out of his contract this summer, a decision he said he wouldn't make until June, but he did say Friday he'll surely opt out if he could get a Cabrera-type deal. Nigga, who wouldn't?
Yeah, right.
Okay, a couple things about that. Like, one, I fuck with LeBron, mm-hmm. but I don't want to hear him complaining about not making the most in his sport when he decided to go to Miami for less, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, that's true.
Like, you can't sign with Miami for less because you want to win
championships
and then turn around and be like, well, shoot, I wish I could make, you know, X amount of dollars or whatever like that.
But the only reason you took less is because of the salary cap. I'm pretty sure if the Milwaukee Bucks would have said, hey, I give you 10 years for $300, he would have took that shit.
Okay, that may be true, but see, I'm not anti-salary cap though.
Mm-mm. I don't like the salary cap.
Why not?
Because I'm all about the players. The salary cap is to help out the fucking teams.
Well, it helps out the sport overall, though. If you look at the sports, okay, if we look at, what's the three major sports? Baseball, football, and basketball.
Basketball, right? Correct.
Fuck hockey. Yeah. Never count. My brother about to be mad, but.
Ryan will slack you up.
Shit, all right. I just outrun that nigga. Okay, so we look at the three major sports. Mm-hmm. The two that are the most popular right now, I would say, are football and basketball.
But see, what you're saying is most popular, but the thing is, baseball is still making billions of dollars a year.
Okay, but they can make billions of dollars more, though. That's the thing. Like,
okay, you see, because me, Bob, and Sean get arguments about this. And see, I look at it as, okay, if I wanted my kids, my boys to play one of those sports, it would be baseball. So fuck all the popularity shit and all that. That's fine and dandy, yeah, that's what it is. But if my son want to play sports, which direction am I going to direct me in? The most popular one? The most popular? Because they're making more money? Or the ones which going to benefit my son?
Right, okay, I agree with you on that, right? We agree there, but that's like...
But everybody don't agree
with that. But that's what I'm saying, though. That's the difference if we look at it like on the micro level, say, okay, mm-hmm. look at this one individual situation, mm-hmm. right? You say, okay, I want to look at me and how much I can make, or look at my son and how much he can make, right. Versus if we look at how do we make this sport as popular as possible, which in turn makes it the most money as possible, right? Because, like, if you look at NFL, it's the most popular sport, which also makes the most money, right?
But how is that benefiting me as an individual?
It doesn't, though. That's what I'm saying. Okay. It's two separate things, right? But that's what I go back to as far as, like, with baseball is, in terms of popularity, they can put a baseball game on Thursday night with the Browns and the Dolphins, right?
Right.
And no way, or football could put a football game on with the Browns and the Dolphins on Thursday night, and it'll get buku ratings.
Right, right, right.
You put a baseball game on Thursday night between the Indians and the Marlins, nobody will fucking watch that shit.
Right, right.
Right? And that's the key difference is in your smaller markets, you need to make it to where niggas in San Diego are tuning in to see this game against Cleveland and Miami, right? That's where baseball has failed, and part of that reason is because there is no salary cap, so all the talent gets concentrated within a handful of organizations, and then these other organizations be sorry. So the sport as a whole ends up being bobo.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, let's look at baseball. Mm-hmm. You got, okay, let's look at the biggest media markets. You got L.A., Chicago, New York. Mm-hmm. The Mets are sorry. Yankees ain't won shit in years. Cubs ain't won shit in years. White Sox are sorry. Dodgers just got good. Angels ain't doing shit.
But that goes back to management, though.
But what I'm saying is, though, because I think that's all a myth as far as the where they say, oh, the big market teams get all the talent. That's not true because even, okay, let's look at the A's. The A's haven't won a World Series, but they're going to the playoffs almost every year. Look at the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Same shit. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. Same shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, even remember when the Minnesota Twins about 5-6 years ago when they was like, you know, they had Troy Hunter and all them and they was going to the playoffs every year. If you manage, I mean, this is with any business. If you manage your business the right way, you will be successful.
Right. But the problem is in baseball is certain teams have handcuffs that other teams don't, right? Like, the A's cannot go out and assemble a $200 million payroll that the Yankees can.
But does that equal success, though? That's what I'm saying. Well, okay. Just because you get $200 million payroll don't mean you're going to win.
No, but what I'm saying is, okay, we always talk about this, like, some general managers are bad at what they do, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have a good general manager, but he's only able to operate within a $70 million payroll, right. If you give Billy Beane $200 million to work with, right. You don't think he'd be good?
Yeah, he probably would.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing in Tampa Bay. Like, they scout well, they draft well, they develop well, right? But at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, if David Price or Evan Longoria decide, I want to go get... If they look at what fucking Miguel Cabrera and Mike Trout got, if they decide, look, I want to go get paid, Tampa Bay is not in the same position that New York is in to pay niggas $170 million, $200 million, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's where baseball is... is fucked up in that all of the power is concentrated. Well, almost all the power, all the spending power is concentrated into with a small group of teams. You know what I mean? But yeah, as far as LeBron though, I mean, he can make what is it, $20 million? What Kobe get? Like $22 million?
Somewhere like 24, something like that.
Yeah, LeBron could get that if he decided I'm gonna go somewhere and just be the highest paid player, which is pretty much on par with Trout's getting close to what
Miguel's getting. Just the longevity of the contract,
right? Right.
That's what the problem is, but. And stop crying, motherfucker. Right. You got money. Shit, you well off.
That's what I'm saying. And you know what? I fuck with LeBron, too. But when I read that, I was like, man, you can't be crying about this shit after you decided to take last. And if you, like I'm saying, if he wanted to, he could get broke off like that.
Right.
You know, he can get 5 years, 20-something million. But it is what it is. But like you said, from on a micro level, if you have a kid and you want to steer him in one direction to make the to potentially make the most money, it's baseball.
Yeah, it's an easy decision in my eyes.
Shit, even in the, let's say your kid never make it to the big leagues, but you play in the minor leagues for 10 years, you can make, you know,
decent money.
$50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year playing minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Or you can go get hit in the head for a living playing football.
Walking around like a zombie and shit.
Dying at 55.
Right. Shit crazy.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Moving on to the NCAA tournament. We just saw UConn get that win, go to the Final Four. The other Final Four teams, Wisconsin beat Arizona. Now I didn't see this game. Did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it.
What happened? I was at work yesterday.
The end of the game, it was a lot of like weird shit going on. You know what I mean? I forgot how many seconds was left, but fucking Arizona had the ball, and I believe it was a tie game. I can't remember what the score was, but one of the players just bought these driving to the hoop. I mean, he gave a little forearm kind of, but the defender was already kind of putting body on him while he was driving, so it was shit going both ways. So I guess the referee. I think in that situation, in the game, you gotta let shit play out for the most part, unless he just like fucking like hit him with a Macho Man elbow. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the ref gonna call an offensive foul. Everybody was like, "Oh, are you kidding me? You can't call that shit at this time." So then on the inbound, Arizona D'd up on the ass, and it was the ball was tossed in, and the defender and the offensive player reached for the ball and went out of bounds, so they had to review it. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I got to. Even today, I couldn't tell you who touched that ball ass. But they end up giving the ball to Arizona. But the original call was called for Wisconsin. So, you know, it's just like in football. If you don't have enough, you know, evidence to make a decision, you got to go with the original call.
Right.
So I was like, damn, now they giving the ball back to Arizona? Was this a makeup call or whatever? And I know we was joking about it, but before we started the podcast, and these motherfuckers, the refs came from the little bench area or wherever where they be, you know, on the headphones watching the highlights. And they walked away, came back, looked at it again. Me and Drew was like, hold on, what the fuck is going on here? Like somebody called, I'm telling you, Vegas called in. It's like, man, you better change that shit to Arizona, homie. Get an opportunity to win this fucking game. We got too much money to lose on this shit. So they get a ball to Arizona. Everybody was like, oh, I don't know about that. So then they get the ball. They get a ball to the kid, I think it's Johnson, who's like the Pac-12 player of the year. This motherfucker gets the ball and don't even get it off in time.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Damn.
So I was like, all that for that?
Right.
But it was a good game, though.
Man, I missed it. I didn't get to see no games yesterday, man. Working on Saturdays and shit.
Hard work.
Who are you telling? But yeah, man. So that means Wisconsin's in the Final Four.
The Badgers.
Florida gave it to Dayton, like I thought they would. Florida's in the Final Four. They're looking real mean right now. Let's see. Yeah, UConn, they got in. They, they beat Michigan State earlier today. And now we're looking at Kentucky and Michigan going at it right now. I fuck with Kentucky, man. Like, I like the fact that they do the one and done. They say, give me the most talent possible. Yep. And everybody be shitting on them during the year. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't watch a lot of Kentucky basketball during the year. But, you know, you hear all the stuff about, oh, you know, Kentucky got this top recruiting class, but they can't get it together, da da da. Next thing you know, you look up, they in the Elite Eight. In college, talent trumps everything, man. Because it's just from a physical standpoint, it's just like, okay, Wichita State is a good team. You know, they had a lot of seniors, a lot of, you know, experienced dudes. But at the end of the day, they just couldn't compete with Kentucky physically.
Right.
So I fuck with them. And because the media always try to diss Calipari for the way he goes about it, recruiting, you know, one and done players.
He's a known cheater, though.
He is. Can you blame him, though?
No, I would do the same shit.
Me too.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, I always say, man, college sports is two types of teams. The teams who get caught cheating, and the teams who don't. Mm-hmm. But everybody's cheating.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is, man. As far as State, man, we lost in the Sweet 16 on Thursday.
I don't want to talk about the game, homie.
Oh, they had that game, homie. They had them niggas. And then it just, like, the last, I want to say, like, 3 or 4 minutes, it just kind of slipped away from them.
Yep.
Oh, man.
There's no explanation for it.
They couldn't get a bucket down the stretch, man.
Yep.
They relied too much on junk shooting and Xavier Thames to create shots, you know what I mean? And so it's like they don't have enough consistency in terms of, like, we're going to go down, we're going to run this play, it's going to get us an easy look or an easy bucket, you know? And I think that's what cost them. Down the stretch, they couldn't get a bucket or enough buckets to keep Arizona from coming back.
Yeah.
And then they got a couple steals, a couple turnovers, and it was just a wrap. But as mad as I was about the loss, man, like, we wasn't even supposed to go that far this year.
That's true.
This is supposed to be a down year for us. Yeah.
Got some exposure.
Yeah, for sure, man. Because, like, we lost Chase Tapley and some other vets last year. You know what I mean? So it's like, this is supposed to be a down year. We thought, oh, this is going to be bad, da-da-da. To go to the Sweet 16 and be as good as we were this year, is impressive considering like the class we got coming in next year. We got the only people we're losing is Xavier Thames and then Josh Davis.
Okay.
Homeboy with the Braves.
Which
is, I don't trust niggas with Braves in 2014. Why not? Hey,
what's wrong with the cornrows, man?
How many niggas you see with cornrows in 2014?
Not too many, man. Right. Not too many.
So it's like, are you in a time warp, nigga? Like,
that's why I cut my shit off some years back, homie.
Yeah, it's time for these motherfuckers to go.
I just think about it. It's like, nigga, how much time do you spend getting your hair braided?
That's another thing.
Right?
It's a lot of maintenance going into getting your hair braided. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's why I fuck with Kawhi Leonard, though, because it should be nappy.
Should be matted and everything.
He don't care.
He don't give a fuck.
We're losing Josh Davis and Xavier Thames, but we're getting a couple of four-star recruits. Malik Pope, that was a big one that we got. He's a 6'9 dude, four-star recruit, good dude. Getting another 6'9 dude, Zylon Chatham or whatever. So like I said, this is a good recruiting class. And then we got Poli coming back.
Yeah, y'all like Poli. Yeah, I like that motherfucker. Dark ass nigga.
JB had me dying. He texted me, said, "Don't Poli look like a runaway slave?"
He do.
That shit fucked me up.
Yeah.
But he can ball, though.
Yeah, he's hella athletic, homie. You can just see the athleticism, homie. Mm-hmm. He has the ball. And what I like about him, because I know, I'm not even going to lie, I didn't watch too much San Diego State basketball this year. Well, the reason why, because they didn't have the Mountain West Conference the channel network, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, the games that I watched, it was like, he would get the ball, he would automatically, like, nigga, I'm taking this to the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get there and do some crazy shit, like, damn, he made that, or he almost made it. I was like, okay, this motherfucker got some skills. So I think if he get, like, a bigger role on the team as far as that the offense run through him, and then create shit, I think next year that you know, be a big year for him.
And Winston Shepherd too. He coming back next year.
Oh yeah,
too.
I forgot about him.
He's another one. Same shit you talk about. That athleticism, that smoothness.
Mm-hmm.
You know when I know a nigga is athletic? Like, I was watching the game against North Dakota State at my mom's house.
Okay.
When my mom is looking at the game, be like, "Ooh, he athletic." Like, well, you know, my mom don't know nothing about sports.
Well, I mean,
she knows sports and shit. But like, when it jumps out to her, like her, like a passive watcher of shit, and she can see the smoothness and athleticism, that's when you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like, both of them niggas are both, you know, that 6'7", 6'8", smooth, long.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Thames graduating, the offense will run through the two of them.
Yeah.
And the two niggas that they got coming in. Yeah, man, it's gonna be a good year next year.
I hope so. We gotta get this on them games though. I know it'd be hard though, man.
Niggas be working and shit.
Yeah. Plus, nigga, them games be selling out quick. So,
well, if I get this new job, I had my interview last week. If I get this new job, man, I'm about to be a season ticket holder. So just be ready.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with that.
Be ready.
I'm with that.
Go to all the games. Mm-hmm. Get at all the young college students.
Yeah, I'll take engineering and shit, you know, civil engineering, you know.
Be like, yeah, baby, I'm a grad student. What that mouth do? Mm. Oh, shit.
What that mouth do?
So, yeah, man, let's see. That's it, really, for the tournament, man. Not much to update. Just, we'll see what happens. The Final Four is 3/4 of the way set. Only thing left is this Kentucky-Michigan game, and it's just getting started right now. So we'll see what happens. Final Four will be next weekend. Then the championship game will be on Monday, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So that's it for all the main sports stories of the week. And that leads us into our favorite segment, nigga. Them crazy-ass stories.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. So last week, we talked about your favorite rapper, J-Dad Bull.
J-Dad.
The youngin' who gave up a scholarship to become a rapper. Okay, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, after we talked about it last week, I went and I read more about it to see what the deal was. They didn't mutually agree to give up the shit. Mm. It sounds like Michigan State saw the video and shit he put up. Yeah, and they was like, look, nigga, you can't be doing this shit if you want to play for us. And he was like, well, I want to do my rap shit. Mm. But I was like, all right, well, no scholarship then. Mm. So he was like, all right. And that was the quote-unquote mutual agreement.
Yeah.
Which, that's bad because his pops let him do that
shit. Yeah, but like, nah, nigga, you giving up that rap shit. Yeah. Tripping.
But... Because here at No Winter in San Diego, we like to, keep y'all on top of things. I managed to find a video.
Oh, shit.
This is J-Hat Bull's, this is his video.
I found
his video on YouTube, so. We're going to hear what his rap game sounded like.
J-Hat Bull.
This is good. Give me a chance to go pee.
Oh my god. This nigga done fucked up. Oh my god. I'm done, homie. I'm done with this shit, homie. I can't do it no more. He's so whack, homie. He's so whack. Time out. Stop this shit right now. Cut it off. Cut that shit off, homie. Cut that shit off. I'm so disgusted right now. I'm so disgusted right now, Robert.
What happened?
Because, you know, last week we was watching the news thing, whatever, and they were showing bits and pieces from the video.
Right.
No, they showed the part he was smoking weed, and he had a couple of song boys in the back. So I didn't really pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga had on the Dickie, not even Dickie, the Doctor shorts, the real young Doctor shorts, with a plaid long sleeve button all the way up to the top. He had his homeboys in the back looking hella goofy. There's like some little young niggas just threw some shit together. Mm-hmm. And this is what you gave your scholarship for this? And you whack?
Right.
Oh, man, where's your dad at, homie? I need to slap that nigga right now.
Yo, Shout out to Bomani Jones. He call it insufficient daddy.
This don't make no sense. I'm disgusted. This made me even mad about this situation.
It's like you look at this shit. Like if you're a father, right? And you look at this shit. You see your son do this shit. And he says, "Dad, I want to give up my football scholarship because this." I'm telling you, if you don't slap him across his face,
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah.
I'm like, open hand pimp slap.
No powder.
Or at the very least, the old man grab him up by the shirt.
Like, nigga, you crazy?
Hey, but you know the worst part though?
What?
The nigga ended up, I guess he gave up the rap shit, I don't know, but he's on the roster for Western Michigan now. So he's done rapping. This is him. His name is Jay Harris. So instead of being at Michigan State playing football, he's at Western Michigan University.
Oh, so I told you. Man, we
called shit last week.
Yeah. This nigga, man. Pops is dumb. Like, Pops, you ain't getting no money if I make it. Let me make it to the pros, you ain't getting no change.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
It's just stupid, man. It's sad on one level, so, you know.
It is sad.
But it's still funny, though. We got to get the jokes out.
Dummy.
So, yeah, man. Just to update the shit. He's so whack, though.
He was super whack, homie. Did you see how they were dancing in the back and shit? Homies had on tight t-shirts and little-ass darker shorts. Man, get your ass out of here, homie. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
It's not even like he had a talent for rapping, and his pops was like, "Okay, you're really good at this, this rap shit. I'm gonna let you go ahead and pursue it." He was like, "This nigga's Bobo."
Yeah, whack.
Oh man! All right, man. Our next crazy ass story. your boy Carl Crawford. Him and his boo thang, Evelyn Lozada, they had their baby. What you think about that?
He's a dummy.
They named the baby Carl Leo Crawford Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, congratulations to them, well,
I guess.
You say he's a dummy? Why? Now, why is he a dummy?
Because, homie, it's like, I mean, me and you, we in our early 30s and shit. We've been in relationships and shit for good and worse and all that shit. And now that we're older, homie, you can see certain issues that females bring to where you be like, "No, I ain't fucking with you. I don't give a fuck how bad you look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not touching you, bitch."
For the record, Evelyn Lozada is bad as fuck.
Yeah, she's sexy. I'll beat it up. But this nigga,
I wouldn't wipe her though. That's what I'm saying.
She got her pregnant and all this shit. The bitch is crazy though, homie. She's a violent bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Short temper, and she was trying to put hands on you.
Right.
So why would you go fuck this bitch now? You gotta deal with her for 18 years. Regardless if you would or not. No, not even 18 years, for the rest of your life. Because once your kids have kids, and then you got birthday parties you both gotta go to. So you gotta deal with her, homie.
When you have a kid with someone, you dealing with them forever.
Forever, homie. Yeah. You're a dummy.
And that, but see, the thing about, okay, I'll say this. Like, no, I don't even say that. Like you said, when you reach a certain point, you start to recognize, like, okay, just because you got a fat ass and you bad, that don't mean you wifey material,
right,
or girlfriend material,
right,
or even kick it with more than once material. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just be blown away how these cats, you know what I mean, these athletes who, you know, they should be up on this level of game. This is basic game.
Yeah.
This is game that regular niggas should know about, right? Just because she got a fat ass or she tight, mm-hmm, that don't mean you like, I'm going to make her my girl, this and that. Like, fuck that, man. I had enough life experience dealing with enough females to know, like, just because she bad, mm-hmm, don't mean she the one.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you've seen even one episode of Basketball Wives, homie, you know, she ain't the one.
Yeah, she's crazy, homie.
And this nigga wifed her.
Yeah.
Had a baby with her.
But you know what the crazy part is? Like, his ex, he has a child with his ex-wife who was nine months
old.
So that means he was fucking her while he was with his wife, homie.
Mm-hmm. Homie, look. I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
She know what she doing. She's a gold digger. She know what she doing.
Look, homie, she came up to that nigga. She probably seen that nigga in the club or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shook that ass in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Started reciting all of his stats and shit. Like, "Oh, you a 290 hitter? yeah, it's like, it was foul how they treated you in Boston up there.
Right.
she really know her shit about baseball.
Right.
Nigga fell for it, too.
Man. Hook and bait, nigga.
I wish Carl nothing but the best, bro. You know what I mean? I fuck with Carl Crawford.
Don't get caught up in her bullshit, though.
Nigga gonna fuck around and have to headbutt her in the car.
Chad Johnson is over shaking his head right now.
That nigga had a job with the Dolphins. And because he headbutted Evelyn Lozada, now that ended his career,
yep.
Essentially.
Ain't nobody pick him up. So, yeah.
Ever since then.
Yep.
Yeah. So, hey, man, just, you know, be smart. Like, man. That's all it boils down to.
There's too much pussy in the world to be selling for a bitch like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a crazy ass.
Knowing damn well she ain't shit.
Yeah.
Alright, man. Our next crazy story, I came across this one this morning when I was getting everything ready. Did you know that the A's are having plumbing problems at their stadium?
At the Coliseum?
At the Coliseum.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Coaches from the Oakland Athletics were sent scrambling after toilets in the home clubhouse backed up and overflowed before Saturday's exhibition game against the San Francisco Giants. God. It was the latest in a series of plumbing problems that have plagued the aging stadium, which was built in the late 1960s. There were multiple problems last year alone. In September, A's players reported foul smells from the bathroom end of their dugout. That came after a clogged pipe caused sewage backup and flooding on the bottom floor of the ballpark in June, sending the Seattle Mariners and A's scrambling around in towels, heading for higher ground in the Oakland Raiders locker room.
Hey, was that bad?
The toilets be backing up and overflowing and shit.
Oh, man. Sorry. See, they just blow that whole stadium up, dude.
Hey, man. So it was built in the 60s. How old does that make it? Let's see, 40, 50, 54 years old? Yeah, man.
Going on 60.
Josh Reddick sent out a tweet about it. He said, back in Oakland, sewage problems in the clubhouse? Yep, we back, baby. That's nasty, though.
That's nasty, yeah.
That sounds like some shit you deal with in the minor leagues, yeah, you know what I mean? You don't get to the big leagues and have to be running from shit overflowing from the toilets, you know what I mean?
But ain't the A's getting, they should be getting a new stadium pretty soon, right? Oh, they started to build it, right? Or they got approved to get a new stadium?
You know what? I don't even know.
I'm almost 100% sure that just got approved, I think it was last year, I believe, to get a new stadium.
Yeah, I think they're getting it built in San Jose.
Yeah, I know it's not in Oakland, though.
Okay, good for them.
Yeah. But who was that leave there?
Just the Raiders.
Just the Raiders to deal with that shit.
I saw something, man, said y'all might be going to the Pacific Northwest.
Portland is trying to get them to come up there.
How would you feel about that?
I'd rather them stay in California, but fuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's what you got to do for the betterment of the team, fuck it.
Pacific Northwest will support, though. You know what I mean? They supported the Trailblazers. I don't know why the Trailblazers ever left.
Nah.
Well, not the Trailblazers, but the, what is it? Supersonics.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, but that was all over stadium issues, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
All right, man. Our next crazy story is about a wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks, Mike Williams. Got stabbed by his brother.
Yeah. I know. I heard about that. I don't know the details, though. And then they released him, didn't they?
The brother?
No, Mike Williams. Didn't he get released?
I don't know. I didn't know that he got released.
I could have swore he got released.
Here, let me check.
Yeah. You get stabbed and released in the same week? That's fucked up.
Well, Lovey wasn't really fucking with him. Because, like, he's had a series of issues, of problems. Yeah, or released from hospital. Let's see, Mike Williams released by the Seahawks.
Maybe I just read that shit wrong. I don't know.
Released from the hospital.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. They just said released, and I thought, okay. Yeah, because he's having all kind of crazy ass house parties and shit, right? Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about it right now.
Dumbass nigga.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Williams is at St. Joseph's Hospital in Tampa after a spokesman with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office says Williams was stabbed in the thigh at his exclusive home in the gated community of Avila. Crystal Bermudez Nunez says it happened Sunday afternoon and the football player's brother is suspected of stabbing him. Nunez is not releasing the brother's name at this time, but says they are looking for him this evening. Now, as an adult, have you ever been so mad at one of your brothers you decided you the best resolution was to stab him in the thigh?
Nah, you know, me and my older brother, we done got into some physical altercations, but I ain't never crossed my mind when I stabbed a nigga.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, yeah. Everybody gets into it with their brothers. Yeah. And, you know, and their homies. Like,
it had to be over some money, though, homie, or something.
It's probably over a bitch.
Bitch, yeah. It's either money or a bitch. I guarantee it, homie.
It's like, how you stab your brother in the thigh, though? Like, I'm gonna stab you, nigga.
Or it could have been like over the last taco or something.
It was probably something real ignorant.
Yeah, too. Real stupid, homie.
Like they
made the last Dorito, nigga.
Like they went to the taco shop and then like he used his like little hot sauce thing that comes with
me. Time off, Rob. You know damn well if a nigga, if you leave with somebody eating burrito and shit, this one last hot sauce if both of y'all need it, you'll be hot. That nigga took that last hot sauce, homie. You'll be very upset.
It's like, hey, nigga, that's my hot sauce.
Yeah. Shit. You should have got your extra one, nigga. Shit. Taking my hot sauce.
Oh, that sounds like some ignorant nigga shit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Stab that nigga over a little 2 ounce thing of hot sauce.
Nigga, that hot sauce, nigga, you need that for that burrito, though.
Yeah, you can't eat the burrito without the hot sauce. Home.
You got to. That's funny, don't you?
It says Williams' off the field life continues to spiral. Back in February, Greg Alman of the Tampa Bay Times reported that the veteran faced trespassing and criminal mischief charges stemming from an incident in December. Then later in the month, Alman and Rich Stroud reported how Williams' house parties were upsetting the other residents in gated communities. Yeah. That's what you're talking about. Look,
okay. With a gang of white people.
Right. You can't move in a gated community with a bunch of white people, act mad niggerish, yeah, and expect them not to complain about it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you niggerish, be niggerish, right? But don't do it in a gated community where white people will think they ain't gonna say some shit. That's all that boils down to.
Dumbass, man.
Get you a little house, like, off in the cut, on some land, away from everybody else.
Throw your parties in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it at your home.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Why niggas want to... You got this big, extravagant house. You want to invite all these motherfuckers to your house and had a possibility of getting jacked and niggas fucking shit up. And, nah, homie.
I don't have none of y'all niggas in my house.
I don't know where I live at. Fuck y'all.
Right. Before the homies come to my house, like in the spy movies where they put the sack over their head.
Be taking the scenic route, man. Man, we done made about 30 lefts, 20 rights. I can't remember this shit.
And then you get to the pad and pull the sack off your head. What's up, my niggas?
Right, yeah.
Then we get to party.
My nigga, where we at, nigga?
Fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a bunch of rent. But you know what's funny, though? It goes to, we talked about this before. Just because niggas get money, they don't lose their niggerish ways sometimes. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. These niggas still act real ignorant. Yeah, you know what I mean? Just... despite the fact that they get broke off with a gang of money.
It's just the ignorance is elevated. That's all.
Exactly.
Oh.
And Lovie Smith, you know, Lovie Smith got hired as the Bucks head coach. He don't fuck with the way Williams be acting. He said, there's a pattern here and it's disturbing. No one is bigger than the football team. He has to understand that. Smith added, have I been disappointed with Mike Williams? Of course. There's a standard. We're just not going to put up with it no matter who it is. You have to be good on the field and off the field. Simple as that. And if you're not going to do what you need to do, you have problems. And that's where Mike has to take care of a few things.
What?
He's cut.
He's out of here, homie. He's out of here.
Yeah, because they signed him to 6 years, $40 million, homie. Yeah,
he's out of here.
Last offseason. Yeah,
bye-bye.
So, yeah.
You can come to the Raiders.
This nigga want all the misfits.
Yeah, to all the parties you want, nigga. Just make sure you catch that damn ball.
Fuck that, nigga. Niggas be acting real ignorant.
But say that. Excuse me. I mean, you was talking at one time. I said, man, there's different type of black people, homie, and them is niggas, homie, that be doing that shit like that, man.
Okay, but it's not just niggas who act. Like, my thing with that, I don't like to dismiss black people as different types and shit like that.
I don't either, but fuck, niggas be fucking up.
Right, but the thing is, there's ignorant motherfuckers in all races, though. Yeah, it's not specific to black people.
White people, they call the ignorant white people rednecks, huh?
It's not just rednecks, too. It's just random, everyday, run-of-the-mill white people who's ignorant as fuck.
Yeah.
I just don't like being dismissive of black people, because that's what white people use against us. Like,
yeah, that's true, but...
they go, oh, see? Ignorant nigga, and then...
you ain't even gotta say ignorant nigga, just say nigga. Oh, there go that nigga right there, homie. That's what a nigga is. You ignorant, homie. Stop doing that shit.
fine. We ain't got to talk about your crazy ass stories.
I know, right? And it is true. As an athlete, you know you fucking up when you get when you start coming up in crazy ass stories. Hey,
come on, homie.
Doing dumb shit.
I
guess I just always look at it in the scope of like, okay, if I had made it as an athlete and I had got broke off like that, mm-hmm. it's no way I would do shit to fuck up my money. Just from a pure business standpoint, if I lay low and stay out of trouble, I could play 50
You say
games.
That now.
What you mean?
You say that as a 32-year-old young man. Uh-huh. As a 20, 21-year-old young man? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, but I didn't have no potential to be a right? Like, at that point in time, my athletic career was over.
Right.
So I was just like, let's have this fun.
Yeah.
Let's have as much fun. Let's get these jokes in. Yeah, let's get at these bitches.
Stupid shit, yeah.
Right. But, so like, at 22, let's say I was in college at 22 and had potential to get, like, a big contract or get drafted or whatever, I'm not fucking up nothing. You know what I mean?
You got good people in your camp to where they be like, hey, hold on, homie.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't the brightest idea, homie. So yeah, you need to go and check yourself.
That is true. That goes back to what we talked about before, too, about niggas not having no homeboys. Because, mm-hmm. like, I always feel like I got good homies to where if I'm doing something a little too far out of pocket, mm-hmm. I trust that my homies will be like, hey, homie.
Right,
that's
right.
A little too much.
Right.
Calm down, all right? Mm-hmm. That's what a good homie would do.
Right.
A good homie will be, you know, when you start talking some crazy shit, like, hey, we about to go fuck these niggas up. A good homie will be like, oh, hold on there. A bad homie will be like, yeah, nigga, let's fuck these niggas up.
Okay, nigga, do you remember Barbershop 2?
Yeah.
The Black Panthers senior, and they was getting hyped up. And they said, we're going to go out there, Cedric was hyped up, and Brady's like, yeah, we're going to go out there, and then we're going to kill him. They was like, yeah. Cedric was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right. Like, yeah, we're going to get him, and then we're going to die.
He was like, ooh, wait, what the fuck? And they all left. He's about to go out there. He slammed the door. Them niggas crazy. Oh, that shit was funny. He was like, wait a minute, nigga. What the fuck they talking about? Him and his homeboy's like, we is not going out there. Fuck that. Oh, man. That's my favorite part of the movie, nigga. He was like, whoa, wait a minute.
He's like, nope, not me.
Not me, nigga.
Oh, that's pretty good. This next one you sent me is good, too. Apparently, Steve Maciello didn't graduate from the University of Kentucky, as he indicated on his resume. Let's see. Manhattan coach Steve Maciello never graduated from the University of Kentucky, as indicated on his resume, and his providing the false information eliminating him from getting the South Florida coaching job. During the search for a new men's basketball coach, an agreement in principle was reached by USF and candidate Steve Maciello. USF said in a statement released Wednesday, the agreement was pending a verification of credentials. Through the verification process, it was determined the candidate's credentials could not be substantiated, and therefore he did not meet the requirements for the position. On the Manhattan and Louisville official websites, Maciello was an assistant at Louisville from 2005 to 2011. Before becoming coach at Manhattan in 2011, it is indicated that he was a 2000 graduate of Kentucky with a degree in communications. However, Maciello did not graduate. Kentucky spokeswoman Ashley Crossan told ESPN, Maciello attended University of Kentucky from fall 96 till summer of 2000, but he did not earn a degree.
Why niggas gotta lie?
Do you think he was lying, or do you think he just, you know, I used to do the background investigation
right.
shit. I came across this more often than you would think, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens is a lot of times is niggas, they have all the credits and shit for their degree, but somehow in the administrative process, they didn't fill out the right forms or do the right applications and shit. So they weren't actually awarded the degree and shit, or through an accounting or, you know, administrative error, it's not showing that they have that degree. That shit happens like more often than you think.
Is this the case though?
I don't know. But like the nigga was there for 4 years. What did he do for the four years? He was there from 96 to 2000.
Okay.
Well, did he just fuck off for 4 years?
I don't know. I don't know. The reason why I just thought it was kind of funny because it cost him this job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I read it, I was like, damn, homie, this nigga lying about this shit? Especially nowadays, homie. It's so much information out there. You can go ahead and research anything about almost anybody.
It's real easy to obtain that info.
So my thing is, it may be what you said it was, because it's like, you gotta be a pure idiot just to lie on some shit.
Right.
Especially for a job like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know what? I guess I could be the case, but I guess South Florida didn't give a fuck. You're not getting a job, buddy.
Yeah, they're like, hold up. Well, that's the other thing. Like, you can't lie in no application process. Because if you're lying during the application process, they ain't going to fuck with you. What you going to lie about once we give you the job? You know what I mean?
Right.
South Florida was like, nah, homie.
He was not fucking with you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe he did lie.
He could be lying. But I guess, so he was hired in 2005 at his other job in Manhattan. But I don't know if it says they're not sure if they verified the degrees. Because, like, this is a relatively new thing. It's actually since the mid-2000s that this has become more common to verify degrees and shit like that. You know, before they didn't necessarily do that. You say you got a degree from somewhere, they just take your word for it. And shit.
Right, so now they're actually looking into this shit here. Okay.
But, so, if this nigga is lying, then that's fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Because it's like you say, it's not hard to check.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time some shit like this happened. Remember the manager for the Blue Jays?
Mm-hmm.
Lying about he was in a war and all that shit. Come to find out this nigga was lying. They was like, hold up, homie. Why you tell all these fucking war stories, you know, trying to get the team hyped up, and you're not a fucking war veteran, homie? This is all you gotta go.
Dude who almost had the Notre Dame job, he did the same shit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He came from Georgia Tech, right?
Right, yeah.
Right, I forgot about that. Oh, dumbass.
Can't remember his name either. Yeah. Same shit. It's like, yeah, you can't be lying on your job, on your education history or on your work history.
Because you know what? Like I tell my kids, I say, it's two things you don't want to grow up and be known as. A thief and a liar, homie, because ain't nobody going to fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because when you're a liar, can't nobody believe what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you're a thief, you can't nobody bring you around or do shit with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, them is the two things you can't be known as, homie. So, nigga, why, you ain't got to lie, homie. Stop fucking lying.
Or if you do lie, I would lie gloriously. I'd be like, yeah, I was a war hero in Vietnam. I killed 97 people. I flew fighter planes.
Now, you can't do that because niggas gonna find out. You can't lie about stupid shit like that.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you lie, don't lie about basic shit. Oh, I got a degree from so-and-so place, right? I'm saying, if you lie, lie gloriously, right?
But that's what the dude for the Blue Jays did. He got fired.
Make up extravagant lies. You know what I mean?
But see, the thing is about lying when you're doing shit like that, because I got this dude I work with, right?
He be lying?
This motherfucker. But see, I don't even think he realized he be lying.
Because,
man, a motherfucker like me, I listen to what motherfuckers be saying. I got a good memory.
Right.
So he could say something 5 minutes into the conversation, and then 15 minutes later into the conversation, he'll contradict you. I'll be like, wait a minute, this motherfucker just said woo woo woo. So I know he's lying, homie. And he's all, yeah, and duh, duh. And, he like one of the motherfuckers like, okay, you know how you talking and shit. You can talk about anything. And, oh yeah, I remember when I did that. Like, hold on, homie.
It's like, how you always got a story?
You always got a story to come with no going on what we talking about every single fucking time, homie. Stop it. Stop fucking lying. Like, you know, I remember one time he had told me, to make a long story short, he had told me something about what they do in Mexico, homie. So I was like, damn, that's kind of interesting. So then I asked another dude. He was like, man, I ain't never heard of that shit. I was born and fucking raised in Mexico, homie. I don't know what the fuck you talking about. I was like, so you tell me that's not true? He said it's not fucking true. I said, oh man, this motherfucker had me believing this shit too. I'm like, man, so yeah, man, you just gotta be careful, man, with the shit you be trying to make up, because eventually that lie is gonna be exposed and niggas gonna be like, man, this nigga always making shit up.
I feel you. Ain't no reason to lie. You ain't got a lie to kick it.
You ain't got a lie to kick it. That's some of the realest shit motherfucker ever said. You ain't got a lie to kick it, homie. Fuck. We like you. We still gonna like you, nigga. You ain't got a lot of shit.
Oh,
that's funny.
Alright, man. Our next one, this is another one that you sent. This is a good one, too. About the Knuckleball Princess.
Yeah.
In Japan, they call Chelsea Baker the Knuckleball Princess, and even once offered her a $50,000 annual contract. I'd have took that.
Hell yeah.
But in Plant City, Florida, she's just another member of the Durant High School baseball team. Baker, who rose to prominence upon throwing a pair of perfect games in Little League 4 years ago, is now a junior right-handed pitcher starting for the Cougars in Florida's competitive Class 7A. Needless to say, she's the only girl on Durant's 10-3 baseball team, but that's not the only reason she stands out. The 5'2", 120-pound Baker throws mostly knuckleballs, a pitch that she learned from two of the best ever. First, 1979 Major League Baseball All-Star Joe Niekro taught her as a youth, and later 2009 MLB All-Star Tim Wakefield helped her perfect it. Mm. Baker has started the season 2-0 on the mound with a .78 ERA. Mm. Damn!
Mm, shutting them down.
I know you would take that right now on your team.
Hell yeah, I would. Right now. She pitches every day.
She's the only starting pitcher on the roster to have recorded a win without registering a loss through the first 6 weeks. She's allowed just 7 hits in 3 appearances. When I was little, all my dreams were to be on the USA team in high school baseball, and people always told me, you'll never play varsity baseball. You're not strong enough. You don't have the guts. Let's see. So coming out here today and taking the win was an awesome feeling. It was like, I got you. Mm-hmm. In 2010, Baker appeared on ESPN's E60, the MLB Network's This Week in Baseball, and ABC's Good Morning America during her fourth consecutive perfect youth baseball season. And she be mowing them down.
Yeah, mowing them down.
Ever since she was a kid.
With that knuckleball, homie. It gotta be nasty.
For real. 4 years later, she still hasn't lost. Maybe she's not just another member of the baseball team after all. So what you think, man?
I mean, I fucks with that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I got a daughter. She loves baseball. And, man, I mean, hopefully she can open up the doors to where, you know, more girls who are able to, you know, fuck with the boys on that level, you know, get that opportunity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, man, if she can handle her own, homie, why not?
Yeah, and it seems like she can. She's 2-0 yeah. with a .78 ERA. Yeah, yeah. I don't give a fuck what level you on, nigga. That's impressive as shit. Mm-hmm. Good for her. Shutting them down.
Yeah, shutting them down, homie. So, yeah, man, she keep doing what she doing. Fuck, you never know. She might be up on ESPN on Sunday Night Baseball, you never know.
Mm-hmm. Throwing that knuckleball. Mm-hmm. Just don't leave it hanging, though.
Man, your ass will get ripped.
That's the only thing about knuckleballers. When they don't have it, they be getting slapped.
They get slapped.
It'd be funny, because it's just like the big league hitters, homie. Yeah. Like, if your shit is just floating up there, they will tee the fuck off on it.
It's like playing workups.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good story, though. That's crazy, though. Man. Good for her.
Yep.
Out there mowing them down. This next one, your boy, Shaq Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal. You hear he's under investigation by the police for some shit that happened at TNT Studios. this shit is funny. All right, let me compose myself. So basically what happened was, long story short, there's some employee at TNT Studios is alleging that Shaq tackled him and caused injuries to his back while they were working at Turner Studios. Now, just before I read like the details of the story, just imagine being tackled by Shaq's big ass.
Shaq, yeah.
Let's see. Channel 2's Ryan Young obtained a police report detailing the incident, but so far O'Neal has not been charged with anything. The co-worker alleged that Shaquille O'Neal tackled him to the ground, causing injury to his back while they were at work at Turner Studios. No one ever called the police that night, and O'Neal has not been charged, but the police department is still doing an investigation. O'Neal's attorney sent a statement about the incident saying this was nothing more than horseplay, and no one intended for anyone to get injured. The victim's attorney said that surgery was required for the injuries sustained. Kid, Shaq's big ass tackling you, nigga. Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
A bacchiotomy.
The intent of O'Neal in any incident very well may not matter. At this point, in any investigation, it is wise to take everybody's account with a grain of salt or a handful, and to question what everyone's motivation may be. It will be interesting to see how TNT handles this, because the alleged incident took place on their property. You can bet that the company's lawyers will be all over this as well. So, what it sounds like is goofy ass Shaq is messing around with some dude. Mm-hmm. Decided to, big baby Huey ass nigga decided to tackle him and fuck that nigga up.
Well, you know what? Because I've been in this situation before.
Somebody tackled you?
No. Not as far as like getting sued.
Hey, tell that story, homie. That shit is good. Go ahead.
Oh, man. All right. Back in the day, man, it's probably about 10, 11 years ago. I was getting off work and shit. And you want the full story?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened was I had an 83 Regal. I had 100 spokes on it, all that good shit out of system. And I remember I just took my braids out, so my hair was hella wild and shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
So what actually happened was we was working next to the airport. We was on Harbor Drive.
Okay.
So it's about 3 o'clock, and it's hella busy at that time. Mm-hmm. So we was at a light, and I had dropped my remote for my stereo. So I dropped it, and I was getting to pick it up, and I thought I seen the dude's brake lights go off, so I thought he was starting to go forward. So my dumb ass, I was, put my foot on the gas to go forward, and I looked up, and he was still. I said, oh, shit. Stand on my brakes. Bam. I hit that motherfucker. He had, like, a Dodge Ram truck. It was kind of lifted a little bit, so my car ran right into the back of his bumper, and it cracked my grill. No damage to his truck, so we pulled over and shit. So he got a dog in the back going crazy. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this motherfucker's dog? So he get out and shit. He was like, no, he looked at his car. He's like, normally I wouldn't, have a problem, but, this is like a company truck, whatever. So, I got to report this shit. So I'm like, I ain't tripping. So like a dude in a white motherfucking Expedition pull up. He take out a package and he give it to him. I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And the dude in the Expedition take off. He speed off and shit. So like 5 or 6 cops roll up. I'm looking, I start getting nervous, homie, because I don't know what the fuck is going on. I thought this was a minor fender bender.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, 5 cop cars come up, they shaking hands with him and all that shit. I'm like, who is this motherfucker, homie? So, I'm talking to the dude that was writing the report up. I was like, man, what's going on? He's like, oh, he's a cop. Da, da, da. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, he works with in the narcotics department, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For the San Diego police, you know? So, I'm like, oh, okay. So, I'm thinking that's the end of it. So, like, about 7-8 months later, I remember I was out of town. Remember when y'all used to live in Riverside? Mm-hmm. I went up there. I came back to the pad, and a sheriff had served me with some papers. Bam! I'm like, what the fuck is this? Mr. Booker, you're getting sued for $2 million. And I'm like, $2 million? I didn't even know what it was for at that time. I'm like, who the fuck is suing me?
Oh, so, tell me, who sues a nigga in an 83 Regal for $2 million?
Yeah, suing me for $2 million, homie. This nigga tried to sue me for $2 million, homie. I'm on like 19, 20 at that time. I'm like, oh, there's some bullshit. So I read through all the little shit. Come to find out, it was that cop, homie. He ended up getting fired because their main station was at the airport. Mm-hmm. So they was moving offices from there to, actually it was in from one side of the airport to the other side. So I guess he had something in his hand. He tried to kick a chair out and ran through his back out. Mm-hmm. So what he tried to do was say that if it wasn't for me hitting him and weakening his back, he wouldn't have been here and hurt his back. Yeah. So then he tried to take me to court. I had to go to court. I was in court for like 6 days, homie.
So what did the judge end up ruling?
Oh, nigga, all my insurance I had to pay was it because he went to the doctor. We had to pay him like $100-something for the doctor visit, homie. Mm-hmm. Homie, it was so crazy because that was the first time I ever, like, had to go to court for some shit like that. Yeah. The jurors was in there reading newspapers. The fucking the judge at one point was tapping his fingers on the desk like, come on, homie, y'all, this is full of shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man. And he even said, like, spoke on it, like, man, I ain't never been involved in a case like this. But y'all got all these, my lawyer was catching everybody up in lies, all kind of crazy shit, homie. Talking about he can't ride his motorcycle no more, he can't play with his kids. That ain't my fault though, homie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was all, man. And that's when Little Dallas, I had like Little Dallas like 2-3 days after that, Lorraine was pregnant, homie. I was like, man, it was some crazy ass shit. I felt like I was straight crazy. Oh, hold on, so it was funny because before, when you in court and shit, the lawyers do their opening statements.
Yeah.
So his lawyer's like, yeah, you gonna hear about somebody, smoking weed, da da da, because he failed a drug test when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. That's what happened when he kicked the thing. That's why he got fired because he failed the drug test.
Yeah.
So everybody's looking at me because I had my braids in. They looking at me like, oh, so you was high when you hit this motherfucker? Mm-hmm. I said, everybody looking at my nigga, you done fucked up. But come to find out, they didn't know it was homeboy that, you know. So yeah, man, I was up in that motherfucker. He trying to sue me for $2 million, homie.
I don't mean to laugh. Well, I can laugh now because this shit happened like 10 years ago.
I was stressed
ago.
The fuck out.
I know you. I remember at that time you were stressed out as shit. Nigga tried to get you.
Tried to get me, homie. You laughing? I'm mad, homie. I'm going to have a fucked up day for the rest of the day thinking about that shit. Punk ass motherfucker.
Nigga tried to get you for $2 million.
$2 million, homie.
And that's the funniest part about it is the dollar amount he went for. Yeah. Not like $100,000, mm-hmm. not like $50,000, not like it was $2 million.
And you know the crazy part was, I remember at one point my lawyer had told me, he was like, "Hey, they trying to get us to settle on court for like $140,000." And he said, "I told him, fuck no, we going to court only." He said, "This is open shut case." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Really?" He was like, "Yeah, we got this shit." He was writing notes to me, like, look at this money. I can tell you, like, look at the lawyer. He's sweating on me. I'm looking and shit. I'm like, oh. Oh, it's crazy on me because, see, it's crazy because you don't, unless you, like, in that situation, you don't, you really don't realize how the court shit works on me. So I never knew that, you know, the lawyers had to pick the jurors and shit mm-hmm. at that time. So, you know, they had a gang of people in the back and they had called jurors, woo-woo, come up. They asked some questions. Mm-hmm. So, it was this old-ass white dude. He's from Arkansas. He said, yeah, I'm from Arkansas. We said, what'd you do for a living? Oh, I was a correction officer. Oh, we want to dismiss. Woo, woo, woo. And so he was like, we can't handle because he law enforcement. He going to see eye to eye with us, so we get him up out of here. Mm-hmm. So this Filipino dude was like, hey. He's like, what's up? They called him to the bench and shit. They went to the back. And I guess he said that he feel that he shouldn't be on the jury because he don't like black people. Mm-hmm. And he told a story about how something happened at work. He don't like black dudes, so they let him go.
This old-ass black dude, I'll never forget this shit.
This thing was like, judge, I would like to be dismissed because I got a sleeping disorder. Everybody started dying. He's like, you got a what? He said, I got a sleeping disorder. I can fall asleep at any time. I said, this nigga trying to get up out of here, homie. Yeah. They dismissed him too.
Real?
Yeah, they're like, go and get up out of here, homie.
I'll be using that next time I go to jury duty.
He said it's so country too. He's like, I got a sleeping disorder. I was like, this nigga. Oh man, he did not just say that. Joe was like, what did you say?
I'm using that shit.
He said, I can fall asleep at any time, sir. He said, oh yeah, you got to go then, homie.
He said eyes,
homie. Not I, but he put that L apostrophe S on it. I got a sleeping disorder, nigga. Yeah, I was cracking up.
I fuck with that.
That nigga was like Grady from Sanford and Son too. Oh, I was cracking up. Like, this old country ass nigga. Yeah, that shit was funny as fuck, homie. But yeah, man, I know what I'm saying is with the Shaq shit, homie. I think homeboy just seeing opportunity, homie. He's trying to get some change.
Yeah. It could be, because, let's see, this shit happened. When did this shit happen? Oh, you're going to be fucked up. You're going to be cracking up.
Ah, it's got a sleeping disorder.
It's got a sleeping disorder, Judge. Oh, shit.
Man, that was some good shit, homie.
Yeah, because it seems like, I don't know when this shit happened. If the shit happened like a while ago or if the shit happened recently, but it sounds like he's trying to get paid off of Shaq.
Yeah, so you know what? That's a good thing. You got to look at when it happened and when is the lawsuit coming. Yeah. If it's like a long time, homie, then yeah, it's some bullshit.
But it could be too. He'd be like, okay, being real, if Shaq tackle you, your back could be fucked up. Like, cause your lawsuit shit with the cop, mm-hmm. like you didn't hit him hard enough to fuck his back up.
Yeah.
But if Shaq's 360-pound ass tackle you, that could fuck your back up, right?
Well, if his back was already fucked up, or he did something later on to where he maybe like playing football mm-hmm. and he fucked his back up, now he gonna say that's why I brought it up because he injured his back at a later time and trying to say it was because of me.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So that's what I'm saying. So they gotta do some research and see what this nigga been doing.
I feel you. I try to always give people benefit of the doubt going in.
I know. They could be lying.
But, okay, let's say, giving him benefit of the doubt, let's say his back was fine, his back got fucked up, he's like, mm-hmm. Shaq, remember when you tackled me last mm-hmm. week? My shit fucked up, man, I need surgery. You gonna pay for it? And Shaq was like, yeah. I'll pay for it.
Okay, I can see that.
And then he didn't pay for it. Mm-hmm. Shaq, what's up, man? I got mm-hmm. this medical bill yeah. for $6,000. Man, you gonna pay for it?
Yeah, I'm gonna pay for it.
Right? At a certain point, you say, all right, this nigga ain't paying for it. But it's interesting, though. It's funny. If nothing else, it's funny.
It is funny, because Shaq is a goofball. Like, so I can see it happening.
Exactly. I can picture that nigga like chasing somebody in between the cubicles and shit, and then tackling him like on some goofy ass nigga shit. Oh man. Shaq's big old, like I said, big baby Huey ass nigga.
Man.
Alright, man. Our last crazy story of the week. So we talked about this a few weeks back. Ray Rice uppercutted his girl, right?
Oh, man. I know it's crazy because I was like, man, we better not talk about that shit. Yeah. I already know what you're about to say. Go ahead.
What I'm going
to
say.
He and you all buried the bitch. He dumb, homie.
Black love, nigga.
Black and blue love. that's black and blue love, nigga. They're punching each other, kicking, elbow drops, and all that.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy. Y'all can't believe that, homie. We just told it. Y'all see, know what it is? People think that. Okay. Now, do you remember on my birthday, that time when I got super fucked up and we was going back to my pad? And you know what? I should have said the shit. We was fucked up because it was in front of Ma at that time. Was I married at that time?
I think so.
Yeah, I was. It was in front of my wife. And it was in, because was y'all engaged at that time?
Yeah.
It was in front of Black Rob's fiance. So we coming back from downtown. I'm super fucked up. We had a crazy ass night. I had so many shots of Patron. I was fucked. I was doing crazy shit, trying to start fights downtown. All kind of shit. So I don't know what made me say this shit. I was like, Black Rob. He's like, what's up, D? Like, don't get married. So both of the females and cry like that. Me like, nigga, what you talking about? It ain't worth it, nigga. Fuck that. And I was like, basically, I was like, it's a crock of shit. Don't get married, homie. Right. But I was being real, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, it was the wrong time to say this shit. Because I was fucked
you
up.
You can't say this shit in front of your wife and my fiance.
I know. It was just the wrong time to say this shit. Right. But nigga, it's real shit. Hey, homie, because people think that when you get married, it's going to make shit better. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's just going to make shit worse. Because in the female, really, I got the nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I can do whatever the fuck I want to now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. I mean, marriage is not, it's just a band-aid, you know what I mean? It's not going to make shit heal. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just to cover it up for a little bit. I see.
And what's crazy about this, I heard all kind of theories and shit about this. Like, he, you know, they might have got married so that now she can't testify against him in terms of, like, spousal privilege and shit like that. But then I also heard some shit or read some shit where it's like the spousal privilege is, it don't exist in New Jersey where the shit, who knows, right?
Yeah.
It's such a convoluted thing. But either way, very clearly, they are in a dysfunctional relationship, right. No matter what.
Yeah.
I've never been in a relationship with anyone where it came to where I was like, you know what? I need to uppercut this bitch in the club. You know what I mean?
Like
the only solution right now that I have is to uppercut this bitch. Right? Now is my whole thing with the Ray Rice story. It's like, before
I can't believe that, homie.
That's what I'm saying. I've messed with a lot of females, right? Before you get to the point where you like, I got the only solution I have right now is an uppercut. Like, there's a lot of shit that leads you up to that point to let you know that maybe she ain't the one. You know what I mean?
You know what? People that think about how for you to uppercut a person, you really gotta have some real type of hatred for them. It just wasn't like a straight overhand, right? He like, he came down from the ground like, I'm gonna fuck this bitch up.
Right.
And just hit that uppercut is like one of the most violent punches you can throw.
Right. He didn't push her back. He didn't mush her in the face. He didn't walk away. Like, he didn't call security. The only option he had in his mind was like an uppercut.
The Mike Tyson punch out uppercut.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, that's very clearly a dysfunctional ass relationship.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, to turn around and get married off of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It makes no sense.
Have you ever been with a girl you felt like you had the uppercut? Like, that's the only solution?
No.
And like, look, everybody who's been in relationships has had arguments, disagreements, fights.
Mm-hmm.
You going at it. You even at your worst, you going through it.
Yeah.
I ain't never been going through it to where it's like, I got an uppercut.
Right, yeah, homie.
In the club.
Yeah, that's what they, it was like in the comfort zone of your home. You was out in the public. Everybody could see this shit. And you uppercutted this and knocked her out. He knocked her out, homie. Cold knocked out. Like, nigga, you didn't hit her like a nigga.
Right at you.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right. And then you marry her a few weeks later.
That's somebody's daughter, homie.
That's crazy. That's what I'm saying.
Nigga, somebody had my daughter like that, I'm fucking you up. Nigga, ain't gonna be no marriage, ain't gonna be no contract, nigga. I'm fucking you up to the point you ain't playing football no more.
Nigga, you know I'm crazy. Let me find out somebody hit my goddaughter like that, nigga. You know what? Let me stop before I say something and incriminate myself on this podcast.
Not real shit. And if y'all know, my daughter is, well, he is the godfather of my daughter. So that's what he talking about. Yeah. They getting a double whammy, nigga.
Yeah, you know I'm crazy, nigga. And you know I got that criminal justice degree, nigga. You're not a criminal justice degree. I know how to beat the law.
Real shit, nigga. Yeah, I got, like, nigga, it's crazy because my daughter only 7 years old. But it's like, little boys, you know my daughter, she pretty and shit. She got long hair. Everybody, you know, be loving her and shit. But it's crazy because this is a little kid that always be giving her shit at the school, homie.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, pennies and shit, just necklaces, and I'm like, man, my mom had to go out there, because, you know, my mom be picking the kids up, taking them to school. She had to go out there and bang on the motherfuckers, homie. She bought a teacher's house, like, look, check this out, because I remember when she brought a necklace home, I was like, man, where you get that from? I'm like, oh, I forgot the boy's name. Such and such, I said, who? Baby, he always talking about he want to marry me, so I said, oh, no, fuck that. I was like, fuck that shit. And my mom was like, no, that's don't worry about it. I got it. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to go to work. So, I mean, I got to take off work and all that. So, my mom was like, fuck it. I'm going to. And, I mean, I know I talked about, I be always talking about my mom, how her parenting skills, homie, how I used to get mad when I was a kid. But moms don't give a fuck. She'll go shut some shit down. She went to the school, talked to one of the vice principals. Like, check this out. This needs to stop right now. We're going to have some problems. So, she's like, okay, I already know what you're getting at. When you talk to the motherfucking parents and shit. It's like, man, you can talk to your son, man, because he just real aggressive right now.
Shit.
This nigga only 6-7 years old.
Right. That's crazy, man. Did I ever tell you about the time my dad went up and banged on a kindergartner? My little sister, she's like 14 now, but when she was in kindergarten, you know, she grew, you know, like you say, same thing, pretty, you know, everybody give her attention because she's pretty and shit. Some boy was like, the same type of shit that you're talking about, like messing with like that. My dad didn't even go through the school people. He went and talked to the kid. You know, my dad all big, man.
Right.
He was like, hey, homie, you talk to my daughter again, I'm going to fuck you up. To a kid. To a little ass kid.
Yeah. I fucks with that.
Yeah. Not giving. Because, like you say, man, you got to nip that shit in the butt. Early.
You got to nip in the butt, homie. Yeah.
Because, like you say, man, like you say, look, we laugh and we joke about the Ray Rice shit. That's somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, that's somebody's goddaughter. Yeah. And this nigga uppercutting the bitch.
Talking on her like that, homie. Yeah. But see, it's crazy because, like, me and Lorenzo be talking about shit like this, and he be like, yeah, man. He said, I don't want to get, like, let's just say, like, you know, his daughter, you know, be run off at the mouth or something, and then, you know, let's say her boyfriend put hands on her. We automatically got to go over and fuck this nigga up, but it's fucked up because you putting us in a fucked up predicament. Shut your fucking mouth. You know what I mean? So it may be in that situation, too. I know her dad's like, down and told your ass, stop talking all that shit. Now you got me going over to fuck this nigga up. Now I'm going to be in trouble. But I got to fuck him up, though. You got to, homie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If my daughter was to get herself in a situation to where, you know, she was the cause of the shit, you know what I mean? Not saying that I condone a nigga hitting a woman, but at the same time, nigga, you can't be running your fucking mouth all up in a nigga face. What you gonna do, nigga? Woo, woo, woo. And then he fuck around and sock you. Yeah, that's what he gonna do. Now I gotta go over there and fuck the nigga up.
Right.
I gotta call my homeboy, so I'm gonna be old as fuck. Call my homeboys. Let's go fuck this young nigga up, homie, because he didn't beat up my daughter, homie. Now we got to put this nigga in the hospital, homie.
Oh, man, you just gave me a thought of me, you, and JB, and Calvin in our 50s. Because all y'all niggas got daughters. So we gonna all be in our 50s fucking these fucking young niggas up. God damn.
I'll make a movie about that shit. Old niggas beating up little niggas. Beating up their daughters, but, nigga.
We gonna, nigga, the four of us gonna have to be stomping out niggas in skinny jeans and shit.
Yeah, homie. No, it's fucked up. Then they got family too. Now we gotta deal with them niggas.
At the end of the day, though, it goes back to, I don't know, it goes back to, we talked about this before, like, it's about your upbringing. Like, to me, the idea of putting my hands on a woman never crossed my mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? That just goes back to how, you know, we was raised, though. You know what I mean? Like, you don't put your fucking hands on a woman. Yeah. You know, it's no reason for it.
You gotta walk away, homie.
Yeah. Like, you never come out ahead putting your hands on a woman. Like, right. Even if you, okay, like, do you remember the shit I sent y'all? It was like maybe a year ago. The bus driver who uppercutted the bitch on the bus. You know what I mean?
What's funny,
right. Okay.
She was asking for it. That's what I'm saying.
Like in the technical sense, he was right to uppercut her. Right. She was acting way out of pocket. Yeah. She put her hands on him. Da da da. He uppercutted her and he lost his job off that shit. Because at the end of the day, as a dude, you can't be out here putting your hands on the women. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
what it boils down to. You know what I mean? It's like.
But that situation was so fucked up because he tried everything in his power to defuse the situation. Mm-hmm. And this bitch wouldn't stop. Did she spit on him too?
Yeah.
So I was like, come on.
But what they go back to is, okay, what's the standard operating procedure? Like, in the book, there's a procedure for
if you're like, realistic, if you, though.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that's why the nigga got fired. It's like, okay, if you got an out-of-pocket passenger, you're supposed to pull the bus over, call dispatch to call 911. That you're supposed to follow these procedures. Yeah. I guarantee you it's not in the procedure book to uppercut it. It's like, you start reading through the procedures, like, if a passenger get out of pocket, uppercut them with a smooth right, like that's not in there.
Yeah.
So
I know.
My main point is like you never come out ahead putting your hands on a woman.
You're right.
And there's no reason to, man. Like and going back to the Ray Rice shit, I've said this from the jump. Like no relationship gets into it. Like you've been with somebody for like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you have to resort to an uppercut.
Yeah, you see it coming.
Like there's a build up to that shit. Wow. There are signs in that relationship to let you know that this shit is dysfunctional. Y'all be putting your hands on each other. Maybe y'all don't need to be together. You know, it's not like everything is lovey-dovey, and then one day at the club in Atlantic City, you had to uppercut the bitch. Because
you know why he socked her?
Why?
Because she brought up that nigga George Precarious.
See, you got me fucked up.
This nigga was talking to shit. She said, nigga, that's why you only averaged George Precarious this year. I'm tired of people saying that.
We socked her, bro.
She climbed that nigga's stats.
She hit that nigga where it hurt.
He's so tired of people talking about my performance declining.
Oh, you ain't shit.
That nigga socked that bitch.
We going to hell. That's why you only average 3 yards a carry. She could have said anything else. I'm fucking your homeboy.
Hey, yeah. You short nigga. She said, nigga, that's why you only ever street yards for carry this year. That nigga banked you.
Oh, that's funny, homie.
Damn.
That's funny.
Oh, that nigga was hot. Bitch, stop talking about my football. I told you about that. That's sensitive. That's sensitive for me. Damn. They're talking about cutting me now.
Damn.
Oh, shit. That's fat. That's funny, homie. Talk about that nigga playing on the field.
Yeah, that's why you short. I don't give a fuck. I fucked your homeboy. I don't give a fuck. I fucked Ray Lewis. I don't give a fuck. You average 3 yards a carry. Bop!
That was the last straw. Nigga, the 3 yards was it, nigga. 3 yards was it. He can't take it no more.
He probably gonna go to. If they got a video of him uppercutting her, though, he going to jail anyway. So they don't need her testimony. Because the video say it all.
Oh, man, that was a good chuckle. shit.
Damn. Oh, we ain't shit for that.
I hope this nigga hear it, too.
How do niggas know?
Yeah, we know what's up, homie.
He gonna try to fight us.
Yeah.
Try to uppercut us.
Beat them niggas up.
5'2 ass.
I'll let that nigga sock me, too. I'm suing your ass, though.
Give me all the money, nigga.
Real shit.
Anything else you want to chop up about this week, man? You got me fucked up.
Oh, shit, that was fun. That was some good shit, nigga.
She talked about his yard.
Oh man,
you know what? Not really, man.
Did you get the article about when I sent you about the senator, the Asian cat?
Which one? Oh, how they all got to have the haircut? What are you talking about?
No, not that one. The FBI did a little sting over in Chinatown, San Francisco,
and found they found connections to how these some Asian dude, he's a senator, homie. Mm-hmm. He had connections with the motherfuckers, gun trades, getting motherfuckers. For real? Yeah, homie, that's why I don't like voting.
No, I saw where you sent it, but I tried to.
No, we talk about that shit next week, homie.
All right. Because I tried to keep it to the sports.
It's a pretty good one. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. Just going to show you how fucked up shit is in this country.
Where we at time-wise?
Yeah, we up there.
2 hours, 30 minutes. You want to talk about it or no?
I mean, we can wait till next week. You know what I mean? I ain't really tripping.
So fuck you. You're
the producer, nigga.
I don't give a fuck, nigga.
And you made the decisions up in this bitch.
FBI sting show, San Francisco, Chinatown, underworld. What happened now?
This shit's crazy. I'm surprised. You should. I wish you would have opened this shit already. This shit's crazy as fuck, homie.
All right. Beneath the strings of red paper, lanterns, and narrow alleyways of the nation's oldest Chinatown lies a sinister underworld, according to FBI criminal complaining that is stunned even those familiar with the neighborhood's history of gambling houses, opium dens, and occasional gangland-style murders. The federal charges, which allege California lawmaker accepted money and campaign donation in exchange for providing official favors and helping broker an arms deal, cast harsh light on Chinatown's tight-knit network of fraternal organizations and one of its most shady characters, Raymond Shrimp Boy Chow.
He was on fucking Gangland on the History Channel.
Shrimp Boy Chow?
Yeah.
I never seen
that. Yeah, they was making moves, though, homie.
He appeared in federal court on Friday in handcuffs and shackles. Investigators say Chow is the leader, the dragon head of, that's racist, of the most powerful Asian gangs in North America. Chow's gang is said to have lured State Senator Leland Yee into its clutches through money and campaign contribution in exchange for legislative help. As he sought to build his campaign coffers to run for California Secretary of State. In court Friday, Assistant Public Defender Elizabeth Falk told a judge that Chow would have to find the other legal representation. She cited potential conflicts of interest involving previous cases, but did not elaborate. Chow did not enter a plea, and the hearing was continued until Monday. Born in Hong Kong in 1960, Chow came to the United States at 16 and was reportedly nicknamed Shrimp Boy by his grandmother, in part due to his small stature. That's a fucked up nickname.
this nigga was crazy, though, huh?
After dropping out of high school, Chow rose within the ranks of the local Hop Sing Tong gang after he and his crew survived a 1977 shooting at a Chinatown restaurant that left 5 dead and about a dozen injured. Damn, this shit is crazy. It's like a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Chow then spent a few years inside San Quentin prison for a robbery conviction, and after his release, started working with the Hong Kong-based Wo Hop Toe Triad, damn, one of numerous Chinese underground societies linked to organized crime. Chow has acknowledged that as a gang leader, he ran prostitution rings, smuggled drugs, and extorted thousands of dollars from business owners in the 1980s. Damn, he was doing everything.
Man.
He was given like an unofficial position of being a leader, but to say he was sophisticated, no, he was more like a forceful brute. Let's see. If he didn't get his way, he would just beat the door down, and that was how we put cases on him. Although he ultimately was convicted of gun charges and sentenced to 25 years in the 1990s, Chow cut a deal to when released and returned to Chinatown several years ago, pledging to stay straight. His work at the at-risk youth soon won accolades from prominent politicians, but... So this nigga was out here,
yeah,
faking the fun,
huh?
Making niggas think he was about some good, positive shit.
Nah, he's still out there doing dirt.
Yeah, but the complaint alleges that Chow used his position heading the Gi Kung Tong to launder money, receive and transport stolen property, and traffic in contraband cigarettes during an FBI sting. Longtime residents and observers said that the startling allegations revealed the continued presence of organized crime in the popular tourist attraction, home of one of the largest Chinese communities outside of Asia. And I've been to Chinatown, San Fran. It's crazy. It really is like a fucking Chinatown, man. I don't know how to describe it. Chinatown is a very safe place, and usually the crime you hear about it there is just robberies and people being taken advantage of, said Joseph Leung, editor of the San Francisco edition of the Tsingtao Daily News, the largest circulation of Chinese newspapers in the U.S. The pre-dawn FBI raid Wednesday at the Gi Kung Tong's office next to a massage parlor and across from the Benevolent Society where elderly people play Mahjong also brought into focus its century-old history. The Tong was founded in the late 1800s to support immigrants from the Pearl Delta region. So it's like Chinatown was just like this whole just underground world. Let's see. Federal agents and fire crews stormed the building armed with a circular saw and jaws of life to crack a safe that authorities say was at least a century old. The organization is among dozens of active Tongs or family associations in Chinatown. Chow assumed control when its former president, Alan Leung, was shot to death at his import-export store in 2006, said David Lee, director of Chinese American Voters Education Committee. He kind of became like a gangster celebrity. He was on parole. He had an ankle bracelet and became a fixture at political events for a while. Let's see. The 137-page complaint, whose many twists are reminiscent of American Hustle, does not reveal whether Yi had ties to Chow before the FBI got involved. Yi, a progressive Democrat born in China, but his political fortune, partly through Chinatown connections, had never lost a race until his failed bid for San Francisco mayor in 2011. This shit is crazy.
That's what I'm saying. See, you know what? Me and my dad got in an argument not too long ago about voting and shit. And I told my dad, I said, I don't like to vote. He said, why not? Because of shit like this, homie. And we went through the same type of shit in San Diego to where we had a couple of, you know, scandals when it came to the political, you know, scene in San Diego. And it's like, you never know what the fuck is going on behind closed doors with this shit, homie. I mean, politics is hella dirty. So, nigga, why are you going to try to make it seem like, oh, if you vote, you can make a difference? No, motherfucker, we can't. Fuck y'all. I ain't voting. Wasting my fucking time, nigga.
You can vote for the mail, homie.
That's true.
You got to waste no time.
I still got to waste my ink and shit.
So I got to waste 39 seconds. Filling out a ballot.
Yeah, that shit crazy, though, homie.
Yeah, it's like a whole underworld.
Yeah. And then you think that's only going on in San Francisco? Shit. Shit's
crazy.
So yeah, they just fucked me up how they had homeboy in their pocket like that. You know what I'm saying? That far deep into the political scene. And ain't no telling what type of favors, you know what I'm saying, he was doing for them niggas. So you just gotta, be careful, homie.
Damn. That's why you gotta vote.
Nope, because you never know.
Just vote for all the black people.
Nah, don't vote for them motherfuckers neither.
Well, why not?
Because Crispy funding their shit. Deshaun Jackson and them niggas.
What's wrong with that?
Nah, you can't do that, homie. Can't be doing that, nigga. No, I've seen that nigga in person before.
Deshaun Jackson?
Where at? Down in Phoenix when I went to
the All-Star Weekend?
Yeah, All-Star Weekend.
How big is he?
He was smarter than me.
For real?
Yeah, well, he looked like I was faded, though. He looked like he's smarter than me. He had a little suit on and shit. And Bob and Sean was like, nigga, that's Deshaun Jackson. I said, who that nigga right there? I said, man, that nigga looked like a little-ass kid. But we saw Larry Fitzgerald, too.
With Larry Fitzgerald
look like? That nigga was big as fuck. I said, damn, that's Larry Fitzgerald? I see why this nigga be hawking little DBs. I still fuck with Deshaun Jackson, though. He can bring his crippin' ass to motherfucking Oakland. As long as he don't be banging no C's or nothing like that, nigga, it's all good.
He gonna be banging C's in the Oakland jersey.
Those shit gonna be crazy.
And you gonna be cheering for it as long as he score touchdowns.
Yeah, score touchdowns, nigga, I don't give a fuck. You ain't taking money out of my pocket.
Man, like I say, if they eliminated all the niggas who banged from the NFL, the
gang of niggas be gone.
It'd be a bunch of white dudes and slow niggas.
Right.
That'd be all that's left. That's crazy. We'll see what happens with it, though. Hopefully, by the time we record next week, he does sign with somebody.
I'm pretty sure he will. I'm pretty sure he will.
Think he'll sign with Washington, with the Redskins? Uncle Larry squad?
It's a possibility he's going to visit, so that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, anything is possible. I just hope he comes to the Raiders.
This nigga want that nigga bad.
Hey, we need some dubs, homie. Shit, we've been in the bottom of the cellar for fucking a decade. A decade plus.
You think he'll be the difference maker, though?
I mean, nobody will be a difference maker, but he's fucking going to help us. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I don't think there's nobody we can bring in, even if we got fucking Peyton. Let's say we got Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. He's not going to be a difference maker. He'll help the team out. But I wouldn't be like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. Well, I may say it, but deep down inside, I wouldn't believe that. You know what I mean? Deep down inside, I still think, you know what I'm saying, at this point, we'll probably be an 8-18, which is better from what we've been. But, fuck, that's not getting us into the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, as long as we improve, homie, that's all I ask for.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm not too excited for the Chargers right now.
Fuck you, too.
We'll see what happens after the draft. I might be more excited then.
You won't.
Why?
Because y'all gonna do some stupid shit. I don't know about this new GM.
He had a good draft last year.
Because I feel that, who did y'all draft in the first round? Fluker, right?
Fluker.
I like him.
Got Tail in the second.
Honestly, I didn't like the Tail shit.
Got Keenan Allen in the third.
Keenan Allen, man, because you know how we already was jocking that motherfucker before the draft, so. Okay, you know, I'll take that back. I just didn't like the Tail draft. I don't know. I don't like that motherfucker.
Why?
He's a weirdo, homie.
Because he got fake girlfriends?
It was his cousin.
Look, Tao is gay. He just don't want to admit that he's gay. just be gay, nigga. Don't nobody care, man.
You think that's what it is?
Yes, homie.
It's just that whole, okay, that whole situation was just fucking weird from the beginning to end, homie.
That's what I'm saying.
It was fucking weird, homie.
Look, his family is super religious. So he couldn't just be like, look, I'm gay. Y'all gonna accept me. His family would probably be just not even fuck with that. So it's like, if you can't just be who you are to your family, you gotta come up with some off the wall elaborate scheme.
You think he was in on it from the get go?
Cause it was dude he knew. It was like you say, it was his cousin or his homeboy or something.
Cousin. Or homeboy, I thought it was his cousin, I don't know. But the dude, he did sound like a female, but still, he never met the bitch though. That was my thing.
This is the thing. You're the most premier athlete at Notre Dame, right? You got bitches throwing stuff at you left and right. And you know you play, like, look, I mean, even if you at Notre Dame, you got a bunch of ignorant niggas on your team.
You do.
Like,
hey,
you ain't gonna get none of this pussy. We got pussy coming out the walls, nigga. You ain't gonna get none of this pussy? He like, oh, well, I got a girlfriend at Stanford.
Never met before.
Right?
I ain't never fucked.
He's like, I got a girlfriend at Stanford, so I'm not gonna cheat on her. I love her. Then, you know, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you gotta come up with a cover story.
You may be right.
That's all. The shit was just so weird. That
it was weird. Yeah, it was weird on me. Yeah, I don't fuck with that motherfucker.
And just looking at, I don't know. I don't want to say just looking at him, he seemed gay. I'm just saying, because that's a real fucked up shit to say. I'm just saying,
you
like,
don't be surprised you see that nigga on Washington in Hillcrest.
All I'm saying is just like the whole scenario. Like, dude, the thing that makes sense to me is like, okay, why would you go through this much trouble?
Yeah, you know, you may be right, homie. You know, I never thought about that.
It's like for somebody to go through that much trouble, because like the average star athlete at a school like that, they ain't gonna go to that much trouble over some pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you.
He's gonna be like, look, he ain't gonna be talking to her on the text messages like, you trying to get this dick or not. You know what I mean?
But he was like talking to her. That's what I'm saying. It was like,
I know.
I don't know, man. That shit was crazy to me, homie.
But saying all that, take all that shit away. Like, because we always talk, like, it's hard to not, like, forget about that shit.
Yeah.
But you take all that shit away and just look at him as a football player, he's a solid second round pick. You can't disagree with that.
I mean, he's slow. He doesn't do anything for me. I don't, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't do, I don't know.
What would you want? Linebacker in the 3-4 to do? A second line, he's the number two linebacker in the 3-4.
To make keep that plays. In mind. I don't think he doesn't make plays.
It's his first year, though. He made a couple plays. Ain't like he didn't make no plays.
I mean, he was hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Okay. Let's see what he do this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't start, because, you know, I need my middle linebackers, especially in a 3-4. I mean, knowing any defense. You got to make plays, homie. Mm-hmm. This can't always be around the ball. Oh, he's around the ball. No, you need to be that motherfucker in here making fucking plays in the backfield, homie. Make some plays for me. He's slow to me. He gets pushed around.
All I'm saying is, as a second-round pick, as the number two linebacker, if he's good on first and second down, that's all I care about. We got Donald Butler.
So, that means now you got to draft another motherfucker to come in for third down.
You need a cornerback. Because in third down situations, you're more likely to put an extra defensive back on the field.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll see. I don't like the motherfucker, though.
Why? I don't like him.
I just don't. Because you know what? I ain't going to lie. I remember during the season, I was jocking him, homie. But what really turned me off was the national championship. Because he went up against some dudes who was going to be in the NFL. Mm. And he was nowhere to be seen. I was like, wait a minute, homie. This motherfucker ain't making no plays.
Yeah,
he's getting blown out the water, homie. Fluker and all of them was fucking him up.
Yeah, that was working.
So I'm like, okay, so this is what he's probably going to be in the NFL.
Mm.
A motherfucker who's going to be getting pushed around. He's not going to make a gang of plays. He's going to be around the ball from time to time. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't have that. I'd rather give me an ignorant-ass nigga who's going to be in there fucking niggas up and beating his girlfriend.
Give me a nigga who on that black and blue love program. Yeah,
blue, homie. Not black love, black and blue, nigga.
Shit.
Shut up, bitch.
Oh, shit. Uppercuts in the club, though.
Man. Can't fuck with it.
At all. Public service announcement out there. Don't hit your women.
Please.
Yeah. If you ever reach a point where you feel like, I gotta hit this bitch, then it's time to break up.
Yeah.
It's time to break up. Like, yeah. y'all don't need to go together no more. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm just thinking, man, I've never dated anybody who I've reached a point where I was like, the only option I got right now is an uppercut. Like,
I mean, some niggas is like that, though, homie.
Well, some niggas start on that, though.
Yeah.
They be like, I hope this bitch do step out of line.
Fuck this bitch up. Well, nigga, don't rush for 3 yards per carry, nigga. You'll be all right.
She hit that 3 yards per carry. I'm laughing because, look, you know what's funny is every female that you've been with for a minute, she knows the thing to hit you with.
Yeah, yeah.
To dig at you, right? And my baby mama, she knows what to say to me to get me, right?
Right.
I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, same thing with you in your situation. Every nigga out there has a woman who they either are messing with or have messed with in the past who is like, she can say that one thing to like dig at you and like get you in the right way. And for every nigga, it's different, right?
Yeah.
Be like, look, oh, nigga, that's why you short.
Right,
that's why you can't fuck real good. Right,
nigga. Yeah.
That's why your mama don't love you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anything.
I'm just laughing because for Ray Rice, it probably was that, nigga. That's why you have his 3 yards.
Yeah. Because he got tired of hearing that shit. So he paid her, homie.
That's why you average 3. You, how you gonna support a family averaging 3 yards of carry, nigga?
Bank that bitch, homie.
3 yards of carry ain't gonna pay this house, no.
That's crazy, homie.
Let me stop. I'm sorry.
That shit is crazy.
Oh, shit.
Ray Rice, I hope you listen to this shit too, homie.
That's why you average 3 yards of carry.
And bang that bitch.
Oh, shit. Still can't hit him.
Man.
Don't hit your women.
Yep.
No matter what. Let's see. Anything else? There were some other stories you said. They weren't sports stories, but I kind of... Anything else you want to chop it up before we get up?
Nah, man. Chop it up by a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe next week will be. I don't think next week will be a slow week. You know, we're starting to get in the full swing of things. Opening day, Sean Jackson. We got Final Four, draft coming up, all that good shit. So,
yeah, for sure. But as always, man, we want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen and download the show, man. Can't thank y'all enough for fucking with us, man. This is week 16.
Yeah.
This is crazy, and it's been growing every week since we started doing it, man. Mm-hmm. So shout out to everybody who listens and spreads the word to your people, your friends, and coworkers, whoever, man. We can't thank y'all enough. If you have people who you spread the word to, do us a favor. Have them subscribe to the show, man.
Yeah.
Because for as many downloads as we get every week, we should definitely have more subscribers and more reviews. So if you listen to the show every week, you download it, you give it to your coworkers, whatever, you let your coworkers listen. Tell them, hey man, subscribe also. You know, tell them to subscribe, show them how to subscribe. Tell them to leave a 5-star review on iTunes or on Stitcher. Any 5-star reviews we get, we'll read them on the show. We don't have enough 5-star reviews on iTunes yet for them to display all of them, you know what I mean? So okay. We need some more there.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, y'all spread the love. Y'all showing us love. Keep spreading the word, man. We need more and more people to subscribe, more and more people to leave a 5-star review. Any 5-star reviews we get, we'll definitely read it on the show. But as always, you can find the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, or on Podomatic. All you got to do is just search for No Winter in San Diego. If you search for No Winter in San Diego on Google, it's the first thing that comes up. So that's what's good about having a good show name like that, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's one of the first things that comes up when you search for it.
Okay.
So, you find it. Yeah. It comes up. The first results are the Stitcher link and the iTunes link. So,
there we go.
Subscribe, listen to the show, spread the word, man. You can hit us up through email. Our email address is nowinterinsandiego@gmail.com. If you take the time to write an email to the show, we'll definitely take the time to read it on the air. Hit us up on Twitter. Dally B's Twitter is at DallyBZ619. Mine is at Black Rob, BlackRob. Hit us up. We'll get back at you. That's all we got for this week, though, man. We're about to watch the end of this game. This is the last game of the Elite Eight. Try to figure out who's going to the Final Four. Michigan is up on Kentucky by 2 points with about 12 minutes left in the second half. So,
What the fuck was that?
Rejected. So we're about to see how it is, man. They caught a travel on Kentucky.
Yeah,
we're about to check out the end of this game, see how it ends. But we'll be back again next week with another episode. Talking sports, cracking jokes, doing like we do. Hit us up. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Send us emails, feedback. We'll definitely read it and interact with y'all on the show. Dally B, you got anything else for the people before we get up out of here?
Yep. I's got a sleeping disorder.
Oh, shit. I'm using that.
That's it. That's all I got. That's some good shit, though.
See, you can't be doing that shit, man. Throwing me off.
I'm telling you, nigga, I got stories for days, nigga. And nigga, that's one of my all time favorite stories to tell, because that shit right there is so fucking funny.
That shit's good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll have more stories in the weeks to come. That's all we got for this week, y'all, man. Thank you as always for fucking with us. And that's all we got for this week. We'll be back again next week, y'all. No Winter in San Diego, and we out.
Love my mind. name is Leroy, and don't call me boy. I stand 6'8", and I'll set you straight. I'm the man on the end. They said they need me to win, but we're refusing to break. We'll surely be. I'm from Greenwood, Miss, where a man is a man. And it was there I learned to keep life well in hand. So listen to me and hear what I say. When you play the game, play the go all the way.